Blog Talk Radio.
Barbershop Talk Tuesdays here on the Dayton Tolbert Show. I'm your host, Dayton Tolbert. Tonight is going to get, you know, we're going to get to the root of where a lot of misconceptions in today's society lie. Unfortunately, you know, many women, I'll say, go ahead and go out on a limb and say most, if not all. At the end of the day, all women want love and want marriage to a great man, to an elite man. But unfortunately, many women don't do the things that are absolutely necessary and essential to be seen in that light. Many women do things that specifically take them out of that position or a potential position that they could find themselves in and end up being in a position of that of just sex, just convenience, just something to do. You know, and then unfortunately, that's just not what anybody wants. So on tonight's show, we're going to really get into how to be, and not only how to be the perfect wife, but how to present yourself in that dating, the aspect of dating, that whole realm, and be looked at from the door, as far as you know, being that man's wife, and that's. That's one of the things that, you know, just so many women go so wrong. So we're going to get into that tonight. We're coming off one of the most emotional, one of the deepest shows, one of the most controversial shows that we've ever done. Shout out to Miss Amanda from last night, who was brave enough to come on the air and share her story with everybody of how she was taken advantage of and manipulated into being a sex toy by men that she, in fact, thought would one day be her husband. She thought that she would one day be the wife of. So it just kind of goes to show you that, and if you got a chance to hear her story last night, you know, she's not one of these chicken heads. She's not one of these freaks. She's not one of these women who are just out there wilding out sexually. In fact, she's been with two men. Two of those men just happened to be the ones, a pastor, and another one's a motivational speaker who really did her dirty. So we're going to talk about the root of where all this stuff starts. You know what I mean? How does someone go from being looked at or looking in the mirror and seeing, okay, I'm a wife, I'm a great wife, I would be a great potential wife to a great man, to being looked at as the eternal friend with benefits? It's going to be a good one tonight, guys. Feel free to call in with questions, comments, feedback, 646-200-0366. Hit the number one on your keypad. Full house tonight. My man Dre is here tonight. My man Gerald Howard is here with me tonight. Morgan is here with us tonight. You guys know how we do when it's a full house. Gerald, man, we'll start with you. What's going on tonight?
Oh, man, Daydown, I'm doing wonderful. How you doing?
Wonderful, man. Like I said, we heard from a young woman last night who touched so many women across the world. I've been literally hit up from people from different countries, from different states, saying, wow, thank you. I don't know her, but I feel like I know her. I feel like I've heard her story. I feel like her story is my story. Joe, what feedback did you get? What, you know, even reflecting yourself, what are your thoughts about last night's show?
Oh, man, nonstop feedback, pretty much the same as yourself. I mean, people just grateful for her telling her story. And so so many women can relate to, you know, exactly what she's going through, what she's been through, and where she's trying to get to. So definitely thank you to her for sharing such a personal story. But, you know, it's just amazing to hear her last night. Again, I did not witness where she was from the beginning, but to hear her last night, the self-reflection that she has done and that she continues to do, absolutely amazing. I mean, she put me where she is now, puts me into the mind frame of our friend, is it Melanie, where she is now after, you know, listening to the show and whatnot. And I mean, I remember where she was when she first started out, and you know, it was night and day, so I imagine that's pretty much how Miss Amanda is as well. But I'm just grateful for her story and grateful that she crossed paths with you early enough where she didn't find herself in a situation like Miss Melody found herself in, because honestly, that was probably the next step with these two men that she was dealing with who were friends, pretty much passing her along the way that they were.
Yeah, man. You guys, if you guys are unfamiliar, you know, we used to refer to Melody as the Delaware chick, our caller from Delaware. And, you know, many of you heard how, you know, she was dealing with a guy who she thought was really into her, but turned out just wanted her for sex, passed her along to his friend, and they ended up having some type of threesome, some type of trainer, something like, you know what I mean? And going through all of that, you know, and here, and she's out of it. She's, you know, she's, her life has been changed as a result from listening to this show as well. You hear her calling from time to time. She's doing really well. But like Gerald said, you know, Amanda was well on her way to right on that same path as Melody. So it's just a really great, I'm just blessed that I was able to play a role. I mean, funny thing is, it's not even about, you know, the whole, you know, being passed along and having a train or something worse happen. She said straight up, I was suicidal. She said straight up, had I not heard this show, had I not came across your website when I did, had I not reached out for some private counseling sessions, she said, I probably would have killed myself. And you guys got, I mean, that's where it originated from. That's how bad she was. And I can 100% vouch for how just off her rocker she initially was. So it is what it is, man. But shout out to Amanda. Shout out to everybody who got an opportunity to tune in. Morgan is here with us. You weren't feeling well last night. Morgan, how are you this evening? What's going on?
I'm doing well. I got some much-needed rest. I'm definitely refreshed. I'm sorry that I missed the show, but speaking of Melody, shout out to her. Today is actually her birthday. So
stop it. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yes, it is. So happy birthday to her. She has made a tremendous change, like basically from calling me just a straight hater when, you know, we were trying to help, and just always calling into the show laughing, and, you know, it's really more about an attention thing originally and everything, and she's completely changed. I watched her and some of her posts just kind of self-reflecting and all that. And ironically, that's what I just came from Bible study, and that's what the entire message about, ungodly soul ties, being tied to those men or women that take you away from the things of God. So she's definitely one that's a pure example to go back. So if you guys go back a year or two, you'll definitely hear, you know, just where she called in and different things, and definitely how this other young woman last night changed her life, and how this other woman started, you know, really this show, and just really inspiring Dadon to just kind of just go hard, you know, and just getting these young women to understand that, you know, sex is something that can entrap you, especially when you're not, it's not sex within a marriage. And even that can entrap you if it's not with the right person.
Absolutely. You know, you're very right, Morgan. Let me just say real quick, happy birthday to Melody. I didn't even know it was her birthday today, but interesting how things work out. We're just talking about her today. Let's get into it. Dre, man, what's up with you tonight, man? We're talking tonight about the perfect wife. You know, I think we've all at some point been at a stage in our life where we're actively seeking a wife. Any thoughts on that? How you feel?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, you know, I'm in that, transition phase to starting to figure out, when I want to settle down and, looking for that wife. So it's definitely a phase that all men go through. And, at some point they stop, like what we talk about, the three stages of men, dog stage, the player stage, and the ready to settle down stage. And I feel like, at some point, roughly around 28 to 30, men start thinking about, okay, it's time for me to settle down and find out what I'm going to be with. So it's definitely a great topic. And before I forget, how about those Eagles?
Oh, man, I'm disappointed. I know you. I knew I seen your status. I see your Facebook, the profile picture. I was on the air last night. I don't even watch the Eagles. I watched the first Eagles game, and that's it, man. It is what it is. It's just a disappointing season. But, we got something for y'all a little bit later on in the season, though. But, everybody, Dre, you may not know, Dre is a New York Giants fan, so it is what it is. Let's get into it, man. Let's talk about the perfect wife. And just to kind of co-sign what Dre said, all men go through three stages. In fact, there's a whole chapter devoted to the three stages of that men go through on the new CD. It's actually an audio book. It's a 2-disc audio book which step by step walks you through exactly what to do to be found by that best man, what to do to be emotionally available. You guys can pre-order it right now or just wait till Black Friday and order your copy at dateontolbert.com. Free shipping anywhere in the world. So, I'm just going to use myself as an example to start it off. Like, we've all been there. All men go through it. I was in that. I'm not going to really say one of the things you've got to realize about me, I'm a different type of dude. You know what I mean? I'm not like your average dude. But even in the midst of that, I still went through three stages. Now, my dog stage wasn't necessarily a dog stage. Gerald Howard's dog stage wasn't like many of the men in the dog stage that you guys may be dealing with. However, there was a point where we just weren't looking to settle down. We were just kind of out there doing us, living our lives, working on our career, whatever it was. And that's just, what we were into. But like Dre said, eventually you get tired of that lifestyle and you begin to look for a wife. You begin to start thinking about children. See, ladies, you guys are not the only ones that have biological clocks. That's when, in fact, Steve Harvey said something about the opposite. I did a video blog on it. I said that Steve Harvey said, you guys should start dating older men because older men don't have biological clocks. And that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. No man wants to be, if he wants children, he wants to get that process started relatively early. He's not going to want to be 45 having his first child if he knows he wants 2 or 3 kids. You feel what I'm saying? If he has goals, why would he want to get into real estate? Why would he want to be an author? Why would he want to do whatever he's doing and be extra motivated about that, but not be extra motivated about finding a wife? See, a lot of y'all don't seem to put one plus one together. You feel like, okay, because he's not committing to you, he's not ready to settle down. No, that's not it. It's something in you that he does not see, or something that he does see that's making him not want to settle down with you. But don't get it twisted. All men are ultimately looking for a wife or will be looking for a wife eventually. You guys understand what I'm saying to you? Gerald, anything you want to add to that? I mean, just to help the ladies understand, because phone lines are crazy right now. Everybody's tuned into this show because they want the answer to this question. What is the definition of the perfect wife? Nobody wants to be single. All that is happily single, single by choice. It's all BS. Everybody wants to be a wife. Ladies, you're listening, cut the crap, stop the front, stop the lies, stop the games. You want to be a wife. And that's okay. That's how you should be, because we want to be husbands. So there's no shame in that. In fact, you sound ridiculous saying, oh, I want to be single. No, man, you won't find a man. You will never find a man that tells another man, yo, man, I'm not looking for wifey. You will never find that. I guarantee you. If he does, he's full of it. Gerald, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, that's the thing. Most men actually want to be a husband. They want to be a father. I mean, they want to do things the right way. But the thing is, they're going to be looking for the perfect woman in their eyes. And most men don't come across that perfect woman in his eye. So until that man finds that perfect woman to him, then he's probably going to remain in one of those two stages, that dog stage or that player stage. But he is actively looking. He is searching in the back of his mind, not even in the back of his mind. It's really it's in the forefront. He's thinking, you know what, when I find that special woman, I'm going to turn it. I'm just going to turn this player card in. Now, whether he does that or not, I mean, that's yet to be seen. It depends on the man. But that thought is always there where you're thinking, you know what, I mean, this is not fulfilling anymore. I mean, it's just sex. Because that's really all it is for these men. It's just sex. But they actually want something more substantial. And when Dadon speaks about having kids and whatnot, I mean, that's 100% true. Most of these men, they don't want to be old, you know, trying to play basketball with their sons or trying to play football with their sons. They want to be at an age where they can, you know, do things with their children, have fun with their children. Not to say that there's anything wrong with an older father, but, you know, I mean, just when you think about being a father and the things that I spoke about, and you want to be active, and you don't want to be, you know, 50, 55 years old, you know, and trying to raise a child. I mean, that's just not the natural progression of things.
Yeah, not at all. One of the things that I want to, and I definitely got to get Dre's opinion on this, but, you know, because we talk about this type of stuff just amongst ourselves, amongst men, you know, in barbershops. Ladies, I'm going to tell you all a little secret, all right, because I know that's what you guys are tuned in. There's no show realer than Barbershop Talk Tuesday. This is that actual barbershop talk that you're gonna, that you don't hear because you're not a part of it. But please believe, the fight is a Manny Pacquiao fight tonight, or excuse me, on Saturday night. What do you think black men are going to be talking about in those man caves when you're not around? They're talking about the same stuff that we give you for free, exclusive information on what exactly black men are thinking. You know what I mean? Not that foolishness that y'all think y'all know or y'all hear on Black Men Revealed on TV One. You know what I mean? Y'all, you know what I mean? Never mind. I'm not going to go there, man. Some of this stuff is so comical. I'm going to tell y'all a little secret. The secret is that there are two types of women in this world, okay? They're the women that men have sex with, and then they're the ones that we marry, okay? And what you have to realize is that decision, that classification happens relatively early. It happens almost immediately. You understand what I'm saying to you? Immediately. You know, you may know, or it may take you a little bit longer to figure out, okay, what's this dude all about? What's going on? But we as men know. You may find that hard to believe, but just about every man will co-sign, I can just about guarantee. We know if you have the potential to be our wife after the first conversation, in the midst of the first conversation, you know, based on the way you look, the way you talk, the way you dress, the way your hair is, the way you carry yourself, you know, the vibe you're giving off. And I promise you, if it's a sexual one, you will never be a wife. The perfect wives don't look like that. They don't talk like that. They're not tatted up. You know, y'all didn't like to hear that. But we'll get to that a little bit later on. Dre, man, help the ladies understand what it means to be put into one of two categories pretty soon. What's that process like for you?
Yeah, he's definitely right. I actually, what's funny is you mentioned that. I just finished doing a blog about that called Categories. And basically, you know, is what he said. For me, it may not be in the first conversation, but the first couple conversations, and definitely the first time, you know, we go out on a date or we interact with each other in person, I pretty much, you know, have a gauge for where it's going, and, you know, pretty much from there on to in the future, and is based on, you know, how you present yourself, you know, the type of conversations that we have, you know, your ambition, things like that, and that's pretty much how I make my determination. Now, if like you said, if I get like a freaky vibe or something like that, of course it's not going to go anywhere, like, because all I'm going to be thinking about is that sexual part of it, and, you know, I won't have anything else to look forward to. And the major one for me is the attitude. That's how I classify everybody. If you have a terrible attitude, or, you know, the type of attitude I don't think I can deal with, most definitely you're going to get put in the sexual category, because I am a man first, and, you know, physically I am going to be looking at you. So if you have what I want physically and I think it's an opportunity that, you know, we can have sex. I'm not going to not, you know, pursue that just because, you know, this is that's how it is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's nothing really else to say after that, y'all. That's exactly how it goes right there. And one of the things that Dre said about that attitude is so huge. You know, again, if you're talking about how what does the perfect wife look like? Well, if you're talking about a wife, you got to have a great attitude, because think about it. We got to wake up next to you every single morning. We have to go to bed with you every single night. We have to spend the majority of our days with you. And if we're going to do that, we're going to want it. We're going to want to do that. You feel what I'm saying? We're not going to want to not be around you if we have to be around you because you're our wife. We're going to want to have to. We're going to want to do that. So you have to make us, you know, like, wow, I'm actually a friendly person. Not only does he love me, but he actually likes hanging out with me. My attitude doesn't push him away. And a little bit later in the show, actually almost immediately, we're actually going to get into about five of what I would consider to be, to give you guys some actual examples, the perfect wife. You know what I mean? What does the perfect wife look like? And I have some bullet points of exactly why I say each of these women are, in fact, the perfect. I mean, you know, I'm saying that in a more so, you know, I'm not being literal. Please don't take it literally. You know, I'm sure the haters will be going, well, no one's perfect, Adon. You know, people who get off at trying to disprove the things that I say. I'm not talking about in a literal sense, but I'm saying if there was such a thing as a perfect wife, we're going to let you know what those women look like and what they act like and how they speak like. But one of the things, that before I go there, and I got to get Gerald's opinion on this, this is just hilarious to me. One of the things I said was, on Facebook, I said, ladies, it's just about impossible to go from being a jump off to a wife. And I want to talk about that a little bit. I want to get into that because a lot of women don't get that. I said that 90% of the time, how you get him is how you lose him. I said that the best way to get out of a purely sexual relationship is to never start one in the first place. And, you know, it never fails. You know, somebody on my Facebook page says, well, and this is so funny. I could do a whole show on her, this statement. This is actually amazing that she had the gall to say this. But she says, Dadon, hoes do, in fact, become housewives. She says, anyway, me and my booty buddy ended up in a relationship, so maybe that happens to some people, but not all. Now, what the hell? Like, who says something like that? I don't even know what to say about that. Gerald, is that not the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard in your life?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy, Dadon. I mean, she said we ended up in a relationship, but what she fails to realize is that the relationship didn't last. I mean, anybody can get in a relationship for a short amount of time, but I'm sure it was nothing serious. I mean, he probably said, you know what, I'm going to be in a relationship with her just so I can continue to have sex with her. Once he tired of her, then he kept it moving. And that's what ladies have to realize when you say that, you know, there's only two categories, you know, women that we marry and women that we have sex with. That is very true. But the women actually determine, you know, which category they go into. And we can try and put them into one or the other, but when it's all said and done, they can only go into a sexual category if they allow us to have sex with them. And that's the mistake that many women make. They allow us to have sex with them, and then it's on that man to say, okay, is she going to just remain sexual in a sexual category, or am I going to actually look at her seriously? And if the feelings aren't there, then it's just going to remain on a physical level. Not to put any type of time limit on anything, saying, well, you need to wait and get to know that man. I mean, you have to do what you feel is right in your heart, what's best for you in each situation. But if it becomes something just sexual to that man, please understand that it's not going to turn into something serious. There is no, okay, we're going to have sex. We've been having sex for 3 months. Now he should take me seriously. If he hasn't taken you seriously within those first couple of weeks, that first month, you need to understand that what you're doing is what you're going to keep doing. And anything that happens from that, that he might say is something more, it's probably not.
Yeah, ladies, and I want to get a little bit deeper into that, because this is where the barbershop talk really becomes important. You guys have to really understand the process, because it's easy to say, well, yeah, you know, we got into a relationship, and you don't, I mean, you know, that's, who are you to say that we'll never get into a relationship? But I've met tons of women who thought or were under the impression that they were in, you know, in some type of relationship. But a lot of times a woman's definition of a relationship and a man's definition of a relationship are two totally different things. Just because you're having sex, just because you're playing house, just because you kick it, you hang out, you know, just because you've met the family, the friends, doesn't mean you're in a relationship. It could just mean you're just that chick, you know, that chick that he chills with, that chick that he feels comfortable with. That's not a relationship. He's still out there having sex with other women. He's still not claiming you. He's still disrespecting you, because this is where I want to go with it. And I know Drano's all about this. And this isn't right. I'm not making excuses for men, but when it comes to booty calls, friends with benefits, jump offs, they're all in the same category. But, you know, and those women are the ones we get the naked pictures from. You heard last night, you know, that's what she sent them. She sent him videos. She sent him naked pictures. And he, in turn, went and forwarded them to his homies. Yet, ask her. Let her tell it. She thought that they were in some type of relationship. She thought that they were going somewhere. She was taken advantage of. And I shouldn't even say that. In that respect, that wasn't really her being taken advantage of. That was just her being naive. But there were other aspects where she was, in fact, taken advantage of. But, ladies, if you decide that you want to send pictures, just know, all right, that those pictures will be shared. And the flip side to that is, you know, once we share those pictures, That's what you don't realize. You're thinking you're just kicking it. You're thinking y'all are on the way. You're working on something. You're building something. Those are some keywords that are often, really big talking points. And, you know, when women are trying to rationalize what's going on in their lives, oh, it's, you know, we're on the way to being in a couple. But guess what he's doing? Once we send those naked pictures that you took in the bathroom of yourself, once I get those and I send them to Dre, once Dre gets them and sends them to Gerald, once Gerald sends them to, you know, whoever, how can we then, a week later, say, oh, you know, this is my girlfriend. This is so-and-so. You know, wait, you look familiar. Oh, wait, ain't that the chick in the picture? Yeah, that's her. But don't worry about that. That's, you know, I don't look at her in that way. We're actually serious now. I'm actually taking her, you know, as this is, we actually just got engaged. They'd be looking at you like, what? Or looking at me like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what the hell's wrong with you? You just sent her all these naked pictures. I've seen your wife naked. So, ladies, as ridiculous as that sounds, that's how ridiculous some of you look. Yet you're with these dudes thinking that you're going to be their wife. How can you be his wife when his homies, his future best men, have seen you bent over, you know, taking ass shots? That doesn't make sense. You know, Dre, what are your thoughts on that? You know how the game works.
Yeah, man. You know, he's right on point with that. Definitely, you know, if they're sending pictures to the homies, you know, that's pretty much, you know, eliminates you from contention right then, because, like you said, no man, you know, wants other his friends to have seen, you know, his woman that way. That's why most of the time, once if a guy finds out you had sex with one of his peoples in the beginning, all you're gonna be is a sex buddy to him. Like, he'll still have sex with you, but you will never get wiped up, because at the end of the day, no man wants to imagine, you know, so his friends seeing what he has at home. He wants to keep that stuff personal. So definitely don't send the pictures out to men, because, you know, they will get forwarded. If you're going to do it, at least wait till you know you have a firm commitment from them, because then it'll just be for personal use. They won't get, you know, forwarded around. So that's pretty much it.
Right. And see, that's what you got to realize. The key, and I'm glad you hit that, you touched on that, because that was my next point. You know, the feelings, and it's, I don't even want to make y'all think, oh, okay, You know, and Dre said it. He said, make sure you have a firm commitment, not just any type of commitment, because you know these dudes will be on some other stuff. But, I wouldn't recommend you doing it, you know, unless that's like your husband or that's your fiance or you know for a fact he loves you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Unconditional. You guys know what it is. You know when you're really true, when a man truly loves you and when he doesn't love you. You just choose not to act like you don't know what's up, but you know what's up. You know you're not going to be his wife. That dude you're having sex with, you know damn well that's not the man that God has for you. And you know eventually this stuff is going to hit the fan and you're going to end up going your separate ways. But damn it, it's good right now and I don't want to just walk away. I mean, who are you kidding? I love the fact that y'all hit me up with these Ask Dadon advice sessions and, you know, it's cool. But, you know, we have a good time. We do these sessions. It's great. You know, you get some information. But at the end of the day, you know what's up. You know what I'm saying, Gerald? What are your thoughts on you? I mean, you know these women know that you know their pictures are being forwarded, and they know they're not really being taken seriously.
You know, I really think in a lot of cases, you know, with the really just freaky ones who don't care about themselves, who really don't have much respect for themselves, yeah, they know that their pictures are being forwarded. I mean, they want other men to see anyway. They don't care because, I mean, they're just, you know, ho-ish. But the women who aren't ho-ish, the women who really aren't promiscuous like that, who actually would care if their picture was posted on a website or something like that, those women who send those pictures out, I mean, it's really just being very naive to them, stupid to us. Because as a man, I mean, you're thinking, I mean, this chick is stupid. Why would she send her picture to a man? Like, because we know what really happens with these pictures. So to us, it's stupid. But to them, you know, they're just being very naive. And, I mean, they really think that, you know what, I'm going to step out of my shell. I'm going to do something. I'm going to show him how much I enjoy him, how much I really like him. I'm going to show him, make him see me in a different way. I'm going to show him how special he is to me. And that type of thinking gets them messed up every time because you know, if you want to show that man that you're special, that you're different, then you want to do something that every other woman isn't doing. And every other woman is sending him pictures. Every other woman is showing how freaky she is. By you showing that you are respectful of your body and you don't make those types of decisions, then that shows him that you're special. And that's where the disconnect is right there, that naivety and what we call stupidity.
That's very true. Now, I'm just going to be real with y'all for a quick second and keep it realer than anyone has ever kept it in the history of this country. You know, you see these specials, you see these Nightline segments, magazine articles, books. I promise you, you will never hear anybody say what I'm about to say. It's probably never been said, never will be said again. But the number one reason why so many black women are single, and really Amanda said it last night, is because of the lack of respectability that exists on such a large scale out here in the black community. You know, that's actually the number one reason, you know, and let's just be real about it. You got a lot of, and I'm not saying that black men aren't playing a role, but what I'm saying is it is what it is. If you got all types of women out here, you know, having sex, sending naked pictures, going to clubs looking like they could be standing on the corner prostituting their bodies, a lot of them moonlighting as strippers in their spare time, all types of, you know, tatted up, you know, getting the tramp stamp, tattoos on the inside of the leg, tattoos above, right above their nipple saying lick here. I mean, all types of craziness, the weave going down to the ass looking like some type, you know, something out of a freak show. Like, that is what, on a large scale, is going on out here in today's society, the lack of respectability. I told you, we're talking about wives here. My mom loves my wife. You know, they get along very nice. When I brought her home, she said, okay, good job. You know, all my women, all my exes, my mom actually was like, wow, okay, good job, nice, you know. But you know why? Because she told me back in the day, don't bring no trash into this house. You understand? She said, don't do that. She said, don't, you know what I'm saying? And that's what elite men, the men who were brought up a certain type of way by mom and dad and grandmom and grandpa, we're held accountable for that, ladies. You guys got to understand that. you may be used to dealing with people who didn't grow up with a father, maybe not really cool with moms or like that, so it's just them. But the man that you want to be with, most, I don't care if it's mom, I don't care if it's dad, somebody is holding him accountable for his actions. So we can't bring home the freak chick, the chick with the weave, the crazy weave with the colors, the tattoos all over her body with the tongue rings and the nipple rings and acting all freaky. Not only can we can't do it, we don't want to do it. We want the good girls. Listen to that new song with Game and Drake. He says straight up, when I get done with the bad girls, I'm coming straight. Or actually, he said the bad bitches. When I get done with the bad bitches, I'm coming straight for you, good girl. You know what I'm saying? That's what he says. I mean, everybody feels that way. And you guys, I don't know if y'all know, he was talking about Kat from Bad Girls Club. Drake used to date Kat, you know, from Philly. And a lot of y'all don't realize that that's not, yeah, she's cute. Yeah, she's got a nice body. But it was a little play on words. When I get done with the bad bitches, I'm coming straight for the good girls. These men want the good girls. They want to marry respectable women. You guys are trying to get these men, by being freaks. You think that that's what we want because we like Beyonce. You think that we like Nicki Minaj. We don't like them. We like looking at them. Yeah, it's cute. It's cool, whatever. But anything more than that is just, you know, it's not going to happen. Dre, any thoughts on that real quick? The Nicki Minaj's and the Cat from Bad Girls Club and the, you know, Beyonce's and the, all the freak chicks out here. I mean, does that turn you on?
Yeah, I mean, sexually it does, but it's not nothing that, you know, I'm going to wife up and take on the mom. You know, they're good for when, you know, you're just chilling, you're not really looking for nothing, you know, serious, and you just want to have a good time and you want somebody bad, you know, to brag to your friends about. That. Those are the type of chicks that you go for. But if you want something, you know, something more, you wouldn't deal with a woman that, those women that carry themselves that way. You know, but I don't really know how Nicki Minaj's attitude is, but the way that she presents herself at times, you know, with the stuff that she wears, it just gives you that wrong impression of her. She could have, like, the greatest attitude in the world, but the fact that she dresses the way that she dresses gives you that perception of her.
That's very true. And that perception is the attitude, is that kind of stuck up, weird, kind of ditzy, overly sexual attitude. You know, how can we wake up next to someone like that every day? Now, one of the things I want to do is help y'all understand something. And before we get off that whole pictures thing, like, a lot of y'all think that that's secondary. And I told somebody I was doing a session with today, y'all think that that's okay. Yeah, we like you. Yeah, we're talking. We're getting to know each other. And so in the midst of that, he decided that he wanted to get the picture. What you don't realize, and Dre just kind of alluded to it, that's primary. It's not secondary. That's the whole point of talking to you. You feel what I'm saying? You're thinking, yeah, we're talking, and he ended up asking for a picture. No, the only reason he's talking to you is to get the picture, to get to talk to his friends. I mean, what else would there be to do? You know what I'm saying? He damn sure doesn't want to marry you and walk down the aisle in front of his grandma with you looking and acting like that. So, I mean, really, what other point is there in even dealing with you in the first place other than to have sex with you and have some type of record? Because think about it. You know, what good is having a great car if nobody sees it? What good is success if you don't have people to share it with? I mean, I'm just curious, ladies. Do y'all think that these men have sex with you because you think it feels good to us, because it's something fun to do? Y'all got this stuff so backwards. These black men actually, y'all, I'm really dropping some knowledge, and black men across the country, I already know her, you know. And fellas, call in too if you're feeling this, man, because a lot of women, they genuinely won't get this information anywhere else, and they're thinking it's the opposite. But we actually can't stand having sex with many of y'all. We actually don't like it. In fact, back in the day, I used to avoid having sex with women. You know what I mean? Because you had to go through, I mean, it was so much, like, it was almost not even worth it. You had to go through the possibility of getting them pregnant, STDs possibility, you know, and that was, I wake up in cold sweats. That was the reason why I, you know, was very selective about who I even dealt with, because just the thought of having one of these freak chicks as a baby mom, I still wake up scared about that. That's like one of my worst nightmares. It was one of my worst nightmares growing up back in the day. These men are terrified of that thought. You know, having to be linked to y'all for the next 18 years. I mean, that's just a horrible thought. I mean, come on, Gerald, keep it freaking real. Dre, you, every man across the country listening, y'all all know that thought scares you to death. Gerald, am I right?
Oh, you're 100% correct, man. That's a terrible thought, and that's a, you know, a chance that many men take. But, you know, just like yourself, I mean, that was one of those things where I always questioned it, and I always thought to myself, you know what, if I have sex with this woman, you know, I may be stuck with her for the next however many years. I mean, my kids, you know, future kids or whatever, you know, may not look the way I want them to look. I always had to have a very high standard for just because of little thoughts like that. I mean, and, you know, some people might say, well, you know, I don't know, that's those crazy thoughts, ignorant thoughts, whatever the case may be. But, I mean, same thoughts that women have about as far as can that man be a provider for the children, or is my child going to be nice looking? I mean, men have those same thoughts. I mean, we may not say them, or we may think about them a little differently, but as far as, you know, having just to deal with a woman that we really don't care about for however many years, but we have the exact same thoughts, just a little different, but still the same.
Yeah, man. It's, you know, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, ladies. You know, some of y'all get to the crib, you get comfortable, y'all don't want to leave. You know what I'm saying? Y'all start asking where the soap is, where the shower, where you keep your towels. You know, we're thinking it's just a booty call. You're thinking like, all right, I'm spending the night. It's like, whoa, I'm trying to go to the club. I'm trying to hit up this event. Like, you know what I'm saying? And so it really, y'all have no idea about the thought process of what y'all go through. Like, then we got to feel like, damn. She might, now she knows where I live. She knows where the bat cave is. Now I got to, like, be a little bit, like, when I stop calling her, I got to kind of wean her off. I can't just stop calling her cold turkey because I got to, you know, she might wild out. She might just start popping up, causing problems, you know, acting crazy. She might be a psycho. So, I mean, nobody wants that headache, ladies. You know, I mean, no matter how, and then let the sex not even be that good. You know what I mean? Then it's really not worth it. Dre, you know, I know for a fact, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, man, he's definitely kicking some knowledge to you, ladies. That is how it is, you know, guys don't, it is a lot of headache when it's a woman you really, really don't, you know, you can't see yourself with her. So it's like, what's the point of even dealing with having to, you know, get the phone calls, get the texts, Facebook messages, Twitter messages. Why you don't call me no more? What happened? What's been going on? Why you don't want to never take me out? Blah, blah, blah. Like, this is the stuff that goes on. A lot of guys, they don't want to deal with it. You know, well, guys like us anyway, some guys, they just deal with it just because, you know, they want to keep, you know, having the sex. But sometimes, you know, when like I said earlier in the conversation, you get to that age where the sex don't even matter no more. You just was like, man, I just don't want to deal with the headache. And he was definitely right with the whole pregnancy thing. I think I'd literally probably have a heart attack if I ever got somebody pregnant, you know, before she was my wife. Like, that's one of the major goals I have set for myself. I don't want to get anyone pregnant that isn't my wife. So I plan not to have any.
That's how we feel. That's how we feel right there, man. You know, all men feel like that. You know, y'all think we're so pressed to get the sex. When you get to a certain level, and this is another thing y'all got to keep in mind. When you get to a certain level, I'm not talking about career-wise. I'm talking about swagger-wise. You know what I mean? Like, I was telling somebody this earlier today on a session. I'll be, you know, if y'all need a, you know, the realist, if you think this is real, do a private session. I mean, you'll really get the knowledge. You know, you'll really get the secrets. But the thing about it is when you get to a certain level, like, sex doesn't even do anything for you. Joel Santana said in the song, Mike Check, it's like one of my favorite lines, to be honest with you, because, like, I know I could relate to that. He said, if you catch me sexing a chick, it's a bisexual chick or something foreign, I'll never forget. Now, you know, to a certain extent, you know, certain types of men can relate to that, because it's like, if it's not going to be something that you'll never forget, or on some one of your, you know, you're not acting out one of your longest fantasies, it's literally not worth it. That's why you guys are wondering, like, damn, why do I have to beg him? Like, you ever been dealing with a guy sexually, ladies, and then all of a sudden he's hard to track down, and you're trying to give him the butt, Like, you're calling him, texting him, blowing him up, trying to give him. You heard Amanda last night. She was saying straight up, she said, I was begging him for sex, you know, and he was trying to avoid it. You know what I mean? This is not, that's not how just what he felt, you know, that's how it is. Remember one time I was in the, back in the day, you know, me and my homies were in a strip club, and this dirty, nasty freak chick, I was just there. I didn't even want to be there, like, for real. For, I mean, we, you know, I was there. You know, I'm not making excuses. I was there. I agreed to go. But I'm saying when I was there, this like, I mean, she was just literally disgusting, you know. And she, you know, she comes up, and that's what these chicks do. They say, they come up and try to grab you, feel on you, to try to, you know, entice you or, you know, encourage you to give them some type of tip. She's like, what's up? I said, yo, you know, you don't got to touch me. You know what I mean? She's like, no, what, you not tipping? I said, what? Like, ew, no. No, I said, I'm good. She's like, what? Get out. And she's like, I can't have a dollar? Not even a dollar? I said, no, you can't have a dollar. I mean, literally begging me for a dollar just to give her a dollar. I'm like, no, I'm good. She's like, what, you a faggot? What, you gay? I said, what? I'm gay because I don't want to give your dirty ass a dollar? You know what I mean? Like, and that's what I'm trying to tell y'all. When you, and she wasn't, the funny thing is she wasn't even a bad-looking woman. She was walking around butt naked, but, you know, this was disgusting. So I guess what my point is when you're on a certain level, when you have a certain level of sex, when you've been with a certain level of women, you know, sex is no longer something that you pursue. It's something that you may accept just for the hell of it. But, you know, that's just not what certain types of dudes are into. You seem like the type of guy, I mean, I actually know that you're that type of guy, but just for argument's sake, you seem like you're the type of guy that is not really pressed for sex. Am I right?
I mean, no, you're 100% correct as far as, I mean, how you're explaining it and, you know, help the ladies understand a little more. I mean, so basically, it gets to a point where, I mean, it's pretty much that same, been there, done that. And that's not what's going to arouse you anymore. Obviously, if you're having sex with a woman, then it's going to be enjoyable. In most cases, it should be. But, I mean, just to say, well, I need to have sex tonight, or I'm going to be attracted to her for just the sexual arousal, sexual aspects of things. I mean, it's not even there anymore. It's going to take more. It takes that, I mean, actually that mental stimulation. You actually are going to have to be around that woman. You're going to want to see more than just, you know, tonight. You want to think about the future. What can you do for her? What can she do for you? How can you all be better together? I mean, if it's just casual sex, I mean, you just let that keep going by, because that's nothing. Been there, done that. That's easy to get. That's absolutely nothing. So, but yeah, you're 100% correct.
Yeah, and let me just take it a step further. Then I want to move on. You guys just joined us. We're talking about the definition of a perfect wife, okay? And we can't talk about the perfect wife until we talk about the type of woman that's the opposite of the perfect wife. You guys understand what I'm trying to get to y'all? One of the things y'all have to y'all have to realize is that, you know, matter of fact, I'll read something that I put up on Facebook. I said, I often hear women who are actually being strung along by no good men saying that they would make the perfect wife. In fact, in that song a couple Fridays ago, you heard one of the most classic shows that we've ever done. We did this, we analyzed the Melanie Fiona song, 4 a.m., where she says, I don't deserve this life. I'd make the perfect wife. But, and she was in the, but yet her man at 4 a.m., she doesn't know where her man is. You know what I mean? He's at somewhere with a dancer, you know, in a strip club somewhere. So, you know, you don't make the perfect wife, ladies. You know, if you're being strung along, if you're being done dirty by a no good man. That, see, the best women aren't going to get strung along. The best women don't allow that type of behavior to happen to them. The best women are no one's booty call. They respect their bodies, you know, and that's just what it is. So, you know, let's keep it moving, man. Let's get into it a little bit more. I told y'all a story not too long ago, and these stories all start to sound familiar to me. So I apologize if you've heard it before, but this is very applicable. You know, one of my very best friends from back in the day, man. One of my road dogs. We used to take road trips to Penn State. You know, back in the day, Biggie said in the song All About the Benjamins, "F the state Penn, F hoes at Penn State." You know, I went to IUP, which is about 2 hours away from Penn State. So believe me, you know what I mean? There's no, I mean, see, that's the problem. I don't want to go too far with this, but, you know, that those lyrics, there was nothing like, and I mean, some of these black colleges across the country and just schools in general, college life in general, I mean, it's on another level. You know what I mean? It's like not even funny. It's like, you know, the women, the mentality of certain women who are very smart, who are now, you know, 30 years old, the teachers, the lawyers, the doctors. But at some point, they went to Penn State, or they went to the University of Penn, or they went to IUP, or they went to Dell State, or they went to Hampton, or they went to, you know, wherever. Back in the day, they were wilding out. You guys understand? I've experienced this personally. You understand? Like, there are women out there, many of you out there. You know what you did sexually. You know, and now you want to be a wife. But, you know, one of the things that Drake says in one of his songs, he says, who's paying for all that therapy in 10 years? Nigga, not me. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, I heard that. And I'm like, damn. Like, that's some deep stuff right there. Because so many women wild out sexually when they're 21 years old, and then when they're 31, they're doing private coaching sessions with Dadon, trying to figure out why they can't find love. You understand what I'm saying? And that's some deep stuff right there. Dre, you ever heard that song? You know what I'm talking about? The Game and Drake song where he says that?
Nah, is that on his new album?
That's actually on Drake's album. I mean, Game's album. It's on the Red album, and it's the song "Good Girl Going Bad."
I heard the song, but I don't remember that line. But it sounds like a hot line.
Yeah. It's a hotline, and it's a real. Drake says some stuff, man. You know, ladies, really listen now. You know, but I'll get into Drake a little bit later. Let's go to the phone lines, man. If you guys have questions, comments. You know, I was telling somebody earlier, man. You know, we get into some of these really deep emotional shows, life-changing, life-altering shows. 90% of the time, the show after that is always going to be one of the extra realest shows, one of the craziest shows. You know how we do sometimes. This is one of those nights where we're just giving y'all, like, that exclusive information that you won't get anywhere else. I see a call here from the 301 area code. Welcome to Barbershop Talk Tuesdays. Hello? Are you there? 301-839? Question, comment? Maybe they're just a psycho. Maybe they just want to listen in. Morgan, what's up with you, man? And from the female in the room, what are your thoughts on all this from a female perspective?
It's like the main thing tonight, the word today is self-reflection. That's the word I heard from my own pastor. It's what Dadon and Gerald and Dre have been talking about all night. So if you don't understand what self-reflection is, or, you know, looking, you know, inside and finding out what it is inside of you that's causing all these things to happen, it's, you know, it's definitely something that you need to look up and look up the steps into doing, because it's so important in everything that you do. So many.
Morgan, not to cut you off. I gotta just go extra deep. People want me to stop there. They don't want me to keep it as real as I do, but I'm that dude. I just gotta go a little bit further. You know what I mean? Gotta keep it a little bit realer. And Gerald, we're about to keep it realer. Dre, we're about to keep it realer than ever. Let's just talk for a quick second, just for a brief minute, on, because black women don't want to hear this. You know, this is what black women don't want to hear. Nobody, they want to live in a fantasy world and think that they're the exception. But nobody, I mean, very few women are the exception. Back, just going back to the whole Penn State, Dre, Dell State, Gerald, you know, down south, can we for a second tell black women, unfortunately, just how easy it is to get sex? You know what I mean? Like, an 18-year-old woman, a 19-year-old woman in today's society, even in any society, what it was like is you would go to these parties, ladies. I mean, I'm telling y'all this, but you already know because many of you have done it. But just for argument's sake, you know, you go to these parties, you know, everybody's dressed, you know, in their best clothes, whatever. Everybody's, you know, in that college environment, Greek weekend, homecoming weekend, you know, staying out all night, getting drunk, no class the next day. You know, you do what you want to do. You live in your life. Those are the times. Those are like the best times in people's lives, the most fun times. And you don't have a care in the world. You know, you could go. Back in the day, we used to be in, I was in a frat. We would go, you know, say to a college, kill the party. We would, you know, party walk, step in. You know, people staring at us like, oh, my God, smacking our butts. Like, oh, you know, like ridiculous stuff. Like, we just pick women out the crowd. And it was like, oh, my gosh, you know what I'm saying? And that was 15 years ago. You know, imagine what it would be like now. But well, my point is you could literally just be like, yo, what's going on? What are you doing after this? I don't know. What are you doing? Well, you tell me. Oh, where you, what hotel y'all staying at? You know, where y'all, who are you, what frat house y'all at? You know, what are you doing? Me and my girlfriends, we trying to be where y'all at. Next thing you know, okay, cool, after party at the crib. You know, and that's just what it was. That's how easy it was. A simple conversation. No dates, no money, no nothing, no last names. You know, I mean, my question is, how come people in today's society aren't talking about that? How come the relationship experts don't talk about these Ivy League schools? You know, these Spelmans, the Carnegie Mellons, the Howard Universities, where these, you know, these successful black women are going to school and getting master's degrees and bachelor's degrees and doctorate degrees. But what about the sexual exploits that they, you know, that they took part in when they were in undergrad school? What about the 10 men that they slept with in their college career, and then they graduated and decide they want to start a new life, and then all of a sudden that number reverts back to 3? How did it become 3 when you had sex with 15 men just in your, you know, junior and senior years? You know, now that may not be your story, but I promise you, that's many of the story of these doctors, these lawyers, these teachers. You know? I mean, nobody, Steve Harvey doesn't want to talk about that. The pastors don't want to talk about that. The therapists don't want to talk about it. They want to point the reasons why black men are not finding wives to black men being in jail, black men being gay, black men not wanting to commit, black men not having money and them succeeding at a slower rate than black women. But, I mean, and while that plays a part, what about the men out there who are actually looking for wives? What about the men who are saying, damn, I can't find a woman who has less than 10 bodies? You know what I'm saying? What about those women? You know? What about those men? Gerald, am I keeping it real tonight, too real tonight for the females?
No, I don't think so, Dayton. I mean, it's something that needs to be said. I mean, we talk all the time about sex and the sexual ties that come with sex. I mean, anyone who heard last night's show, I mean, they listened to the young lady speaking. And she was trying to throw sex at these men. I mean, doing whatever she could sexually to make these men know that she wanted them. And that's what a lot of women do. I mean, we have women who just have sex because, I mean, they're horny. I mean, they feel that they need to have their needs met, satisfied, and eventually a husband will come along and, you know, not worry or care about anything that she's done in the past. Then you have the women, like the young lady from last night, who throw sex out there because they actually want love. I mean, they're trying to have somebody to take them seriously, but they don't know the right way to make a man truly look at them and be serious about them. But either way, I mean, the way to get that man that they're trying to use is sex. And we say time and time again, sex is something powerful. Sex is something that's meant for marriage. And most of us, we don't abide by that. And because we don't, I mean, we find ourselves in situations where, you know what, that one powerful thing, sex, becomes the basis and the emphasis of our relationships, whether we intended it to be that way or not. I mean, if it's enjoyable, then that's something that's on the brain all the time. As a man, I mean, that man is thinking about, okay, what can I do with her next? How can I do her next? Versus, you know, what does she really enjoy? What are her aspirations and goals in life? And women don't understand that. I mean, if that man is at you in just a sexual way, And that's the way it's going to stay. I mean, it's not going to be anything more. It doesn't matter how long you have sex with him, how good you put it on him. We've said time and time again, there's always going to be somebody who's going to be able to put it on him a little better than you. So if that's what you're trying to do to get that man to notice you, then you might as well just go ahead and give that up.
Biggie said it best. He said, she looked better than you, give head better than you, get wetter than you. That's just what Biggie said. You know what I'm saying? That's a famous Biggie line that all men can relate to. So that doesn't mean that you're not pretty. It doesn't mean that you can't do certain things sexually, but there's always going to be someone better. You guys understand what I'm saying to you? I don't care how pretty you look. Gerald has been with women better than 10 times better than Beyonce. I have too. Dre has too. Yeah, there's always someone better. You heard one of the realest stories I've ever told, one of the realest situations we've ever discussed on Friday Night Show, where Pam Grier, the epitome of sexiness back in her generation, is now 62 and single and got done dirty and strung out by over Richard Pryor. You know what I mean? If that's not enough to make y'all keep y'all legs closed, I don't know what is. You know, nobody wants the washed up video vixen. You know, nobody wants the washed up porn star, the washed up freak. Beyonce will not always be Beyonce. She will eventually be, you know, Jay-Z's wife. You know what I mean? I'm just being real with y'all. And at some point, you have to realize, like, wow, there's more to life. You know, I'm not, you know, I can't compete sexually. I need to be a wife. We're talking tonight about how to be the perfect wife. But Dre, can you tell the ladies for a quick second just how easy, you don't have to get too personal with yourself necessarily, but just how easy is it as men, not even today, because we all know even as adults, is, you know, but just early on in college, man, how easy is it for somebody to get sex in college? Women need to know that.
Well, I can say I'll talk from both perspectives now and in college. In college, you know, it was pretty much what he said, how it goes down, you know, especially because the liquor is involved. That's like one of the main things. You know, everybody's drinking, everybody's getting drunk. Everybody, you know, is at the peak of their lives, so, you know, physically, they're attractive. Young people, they really haven't had anything happen to them yet. You know, they still look good and everything like that. So, you know, you're already attracted to the person, then you get that liquor involved, and then you pretty much say whatever's on your mind. And most of the time, you know, hours and hours of drinking and dancing, you know, it's like 2, 3 o'clock, you're starting to think about sex. So, like you say, you slip the line and like, oh, well, what y'all doing after this? Oh, we ain't doing nothing. We're not tired or blah, blah, blah. You're like, oh, well, come chill with us. You come back to the room, you know, then, you know, he's going to try you. And you're feeling good at that point, and then next thing you know, you're having sex. It happens easy like that. Nowadays, you know, from a male perspective, when, you know, you got a lot to offer, you got a good job, you know, you're still working out, keeping yourself up, and it's not a lot of men out there doing those type of things, so you become, you know, valuable out there in the single woman community. You know, you take them out on a nice date. Next thing you know, good conversation. Next thing you know, you're already attracted to them if you're spending time with them, and then you're having sex that easy. Like, I think, you know, right now it's probably a lot easier than it was back in the day, because right now everybody's looking, you know, they're looking to meet somebody, and it's like I said, you're the valuable commodity. It makes you more attracted to multiple women, and in turn, you're having sex with multiple women, and it's easier. It is what it is.
It's funny, man. You're right, because it's like, just, you know, pick your poison. It literally is easy. It's just as easy either way. Like you said, in college, for all the reasons he named, you know, you're young, it's fun, no care in the world. I don't even want to say it's harder, but it's just now it's more complicated. Back in the day, you could literally be like, yo, what's up? You want to come over and watch a movie tonight? There was no pretense. It was no, you know, let me try to convince you that I want to be your man, or, you know, I'm going to marry you, or we're going to be committed. It was just like, look, what are you doing tonight? You want to hang out? Like, come watch a movie in my dorm room. You know what I mean? And if a woman in college was going to chill with you in your dorm room, I mean, you knew what it was. Me and my homie, we used to do this thing. My homie got a video camera, and we used to put people on blast. We used to just walk around the campus, a relatively small campus, and we would catch people. Like, we would call it, I forget what we called it, but it was basically like the overnight cam, we called it, something like that. And we would catch women taking that hike from their one dorm across campus to the other dorm at like midnight, 1 o'clock, with a backpack on, head wrapped up, scarf on, pajama pants on. You know what I mean? Like, yo, what are you? And we would interview them. Like, yo, where are you going? What's going on tonight? Where you live over in that dorm? Where are you on your way to? So, you know, by yourself walking across campus late at night. And it was just really fun. And you know, a lot of women, they know what I'm talking about. They've experienced things like that. See, IUP was one of those campuses. It was actually named one. See, I was supposed to go to Morehouse. A lot of y'all don't know that. I was supposed to go to Morehouse, but, you know, a lot of things about Morehouse and just that down south environment at that time didn't appeal to me. It was kind of, you know, violent. And maybe it wasn't even all that violent, but when I visited Morehouse, it was just a whole long story. But long story short, it wasn't the safest place to be. Gerald knows all about that. So I ended up going to IUP, which was named one of the fifth safest countries, or the fifth safest campus in the country, actually. At that time. So my point is, you would have women just walking around at all hours of the night, you know, just on their chill, creeping, basically. We call it the creep cam. That's what it was called, the creep cam. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. College life was just all that, man. Who misses college? Everybody, I think, in some way misses college. Joe, I mean, you ever think back when your college years with fond memories?
Oh, most definitely, man. I mean, that's an experience that, I mean, I believe everyone should get to experience. I mean, just actually living on campus on your own for the first time, you know, making your own decisions, the mistakes that you make, you learn from. I mean, you're not actually an adult, but you are an adult. It's just like that step right before adulthood. Everyone should be able to experience that. So definitely look back on it and reminisce and think, man, I mean, I'm happy that I'm still here, that I made it through, that I'm alive, because you do some crazy things in college.
Oh, man, absolutely. Absolutely, man. You know, I mean, yeah, it is what it is. Let's keep it moving, man. I could tell y'all stories about college all night long, man, and just tell y'all. Because, again, we're talking tonight about the perfect wife, and it's almost like, you know, people don't like to look at it this way, but it's the same thing as buying a house. You know, being in banking for a lot of my adult life, you know, as like a mortgage representative, you know, a loan officer, you're looking for that perfect person with a high credit score, with the perfect credit scores, because you know that they're automatically going to be approved, and that's going to be more money in your paycheck. I was making a lot of money getting it. I worked in the white neighborhoods. They, you know, perfect credit scores, doing $200,000 lines of credits, different things. Oh, man, that's big money right there. So that's the type of people that you look for when you're looking to get a deal done. And black men are the same way. Instead of looking for, you know, someone with a high credit score, we're looking for a woman with a low sexual number, you know. And I know y'all don't want to hear that, you know, necessarily, but it is true. I'm not going to lie to y'all. All men look for a woman with a low sexual number. That's a fact. You know, now, depending on what type of man that person is, will determine whether or not he settles for a woman with a not so high. It's kind of like a guy where money is, you know, if money's an issue, you may settle for the car with the, you know, 50,000 miles on it. But if you're a brand, you know, you're a millionaire and money's no object, you're most likely not going to want a car with 50,000 miles, whereas somebody where money is an issue, that 50,000 might not be such a big deal. Hey, 50,000, that's still low mileage. But for someone where money is no object, that's high mileage. It's all relative depending on the type of situation you're in. When you're talking about elite men who don't have to settle, who are going to be a little bit more picky, who do have multiple women throwing themselves at them, they're most likely not going to settle for a woman with 30 bodies. Somebody else who's had to chase sex all their life, who didn't have it as easy with, you know, as far as being a ladies' man or having their way with women, they may decide, you know what, I'll take the woman with 30 bodies. You know, we all have past. It's no big deal. But I'm just being honest with y'all. That's how it is. So don't feel any type of way. You know, God can change anybody's life. I'm not saying that you won't find a great man if you have 30 bodies. I've changed a lot of women's lives who struggle with promiscuous past. You know, but that's not from me. That's not from them. That's from them, me encouraging them to get closer to God so that he can make those changes and bring that right man into your life who will accept you and be that man specifically sent for you. Because there's somebody for everybody. You know what I mean? You just got to know your role, know your place. Now, I want to talk about some actual women, okay? You know, like I want to talk about some great women. I want to throw out some names. When I think of perfect women, I think of, or actually not perfect women, but the perfect wife, just from what, you know, we know about them. I don't know any of these women personally, but I think of the Betty Shabazz. I think of the Michelle Obamas of the world. I think of the Coretta Scott King. I think of the Claire Huxtables, you know, the image that we saw on television, how Claire Huxtable was portrayed over the, you know, over a 10-year period or whatever it was. I think of the Florida Evans from Good Times, you know, even what's the chick, Fresh Prince of Bel Air, Phil, Uncle Phil's wife, Aunt Viv, you know what I mean? Even she was a good wife. So, you know, and that's, and if you notice something that all of those women have in common, they all came off in a respectable way. You know, they were not freaks. You know, I'm sure they get it in behind closed doors, but that's nobody's business. You understand what I'm saying? For their husbands, you know, they don't walk around with their chest exposed. They're not flaunting what their mama gave them in the clubs. They don't get hype and start dancing on the floor to the point where their ass is showing because their tight ass freakum dress has, you know, has ridden up. You understand what I'm saying? That's not sexy. That's not what Michelle Obama would do. And I posed a question, and I got to ask the fellas about this. This is a very interesting question. Maybe the ladies have comments, maybe not, most likely not. But I'll ask it anyway. And anyway, I said, if most women want to be wives of great men, you know, I said that, you know, if you ask any woman, who would you rather be with in a marriage? You know, say President Barack Obama or Jay-Z, former drug dealer. Now, you know, both are very successful in their own right, but I genuinely don't think that there's a woman out there who would admit, there probably are, you know, you never know, there's some psychos out there, but, you know, anyone with some sense, I don't think anybody with a clear head on their shoulders would say, I would choose to marry Jay-Z over President Barack Obama. I think that's pretty, we can all agree on that. So, you know, because of that, why do so many women act like Beyonce instead of trying to look and act like Michelle Obama? I think that's probably one of the best questions that could possibly be asked in today's society. Now, if you have answers for that question, I'd love to hear them. I mean, it could be a rhetorical question, but if you'd like to humor me, feel free to call in 646-200-0366. Hit the number 1 on your keypad. Gerald, any thoughts on that?
I mean, I look at it more along the lines of, I mean, I would assume that a woman would think it's more exciting or more fun to be like a Beyonce, I mean, to the exciting lifestyle, to be sexy. Whereas in a man's eye, especially a man who is looking for a woman to be his wife, I mean, Michelle Obama, the way she carries herself, the way she dresses, you know, respectful of her body, and that's sexy to us. But to most women, and they may not see that as sexy. And so Beyonce is more, I guess, is more appealing, more fun. And she's out there. She can wear the leotard. She can be sexy. She can be freaky. But at the same time, other women can consider her to be classy. Whereas men, we don't see it that way. We want what Michelle Obama has to offer as far as the way that she carries herself, as far as her personality is from what we know, what we've seen. So I think that's what it is. Like, I mean, again, I'm a man, so I'm just taking a stab at it.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you hit the nail right on the head, Gerald. I mean, you know, let's be real about this. I know we as men can spot other dudes who get it in or have gotten it in. And I'm just going to be real with y'all. As a OG player in the game myself, you know, who did it probably better than it's ever been done before, I can tell y'all definitively that President Barack Obama got it in back in the day. For, you know, he's got that swagger. He had the type of women, you know, chasing him. That dude, I mean, you could tell, like, he was that dude that could get a certain type of woman. You know, that's just how it was. But the woman he ultimately married, you know, was a great woman and is a great woman. She's not one of these freaks. If you think Barack Obama never had jump-offs or never had some freaks, you know, you're sad. I can just about guarantee you, you're sadly mistaken. You know, if you think Martin Luther King never had a little bit of fun back in the day, we all know Malcolm X got it in. You know, he loved it. You know, the snow bunnies. You know that. You know, it is what it is. So, but the woman he ultimately married once he got into that stage where he was in that ready to settle down stage, ready to really be a great man, a great leader. You know, those men, even men like myself, wilded out back in the day, married a great woman. Not the freaks, not the, you know, the hoes, not the women who don't respect their bodies, but the women who make great wives and great mothers and great women that we can bring home to mom. That's the perfect wife right there, the women who are going to be supportive. You know, how do you get to be president of the United States? You got to have a strong woman behind you, you know. You know, I mean, this isn't just about black men. You know, this is just, man, you think George Bush used to wild out. But look at Laura. He married Laura Bush and because she had his back. Now, they're into some off-the-wall stuff, but don't get it twisted. You know, still got to have a good woman right there beside you. What else, man? You know, one of the analogies I always like to give is the homeless shelter analogy, the Will Smith analogy and Pursuit of Happiness. You know, I mean, the reality is when things got tough and he had to end up sleeping in the homeless shelter, in the bathroom, you know, no money, telling stories to his son just to kind of, you know, tears in his eyes, you know, not eating himself just so his son could have a slice of pizza. You know, his wife up and bounced. You know what I'm saying? The perfect wife, the best possible wife, would have been there right next to him because he was still a good man. Now, I know I don't expect y'all to stand by a no-good nigga. But if you have a good man, because Barack Obama didn't always have money. And many of y'all don't know, Barack Obama graduated from Harvard with a law degree, yet he chose to give back to his community, so he did a lot of community service. Now, community service didn't necessarily pay a lot, but Michelle Obama, somewhere along the line, he met Michelle Obama, who had his back and who supported him, and now we, you know, you see her as the first lady. A lot of y'all, in the face of adversity, you run, you hide, you run to someone else. You know what I'm saying? If a man is living at home, you look at that as a negative. You know, do I need to tell y'all why so many women are, do I need to do it again, Morgan? I do it all the time, but do I really need to tell people? I'm sure we have at least one first-time listener who's not familiar. You know, Morgan, do I need to? Do people need to know the real reason why so many black women don't like dating men who live at home? Morgan, are you there? All right, we're going to come back to Morgan. Let's go to the phone lines while I ponder whether or not I need to reveal that. Gerald, what do you think? Should I do it?
Definitely some first-time listeners on the line. Definitely got to let them know, you know, what some of the real reasons are.
Yeah, man. Let's see what these phone lines are hitting for real quick. 646-200-0366. Hit the number one on your keypad. I see a call here from the 301 area code. Welcome to Barbershop Talk Tuesdays.
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Yeah, I wanted to say a comment. You know, with a lot of females out here, man, they the reason why I feel like, you know, they, you know, carry themselves the way they do is because of the music. And then on top of that, it's the fact, like, they don't like the truth, you know. They want men to sugarcoat a lot of things, you know. Like, with Drake, like you said, with Drake, okay, far as how, like he says, oh, women bad, all these rappers saying all this crazy stuff, and women feed into it. And then with the women, you know, far as Nicki Minaj, Trina, all that, they really believe, they feed into that perception, like, oh, yeah, I got to have this, I got to have that. You know, and really, it's not about that. It's about really respecting yourself, you know, really getting into God, you know, and with the men, the same thing, you know, finding a man that's truly in a God that's ambitious and humble and, you know, all the things that's right and not the things that's wrong, because a lot of women are afraid of challenge, you know, and they want something easy. And really, when you want the right person, you know, it's going to be a challenge, and a lot of women don't want to step up to the plate and do that.
Man, you're dropping some knowledge, man. Let everybody know where you're calling in from.
I'm calling from the state of Maryland, man.
Maryland, man. Yo, see, that's what Barbershop Talk Tuesdays is all about, man. You know what I mean? Having black men from all over the country. You got Dre from the New York area, Northern Jersey, me from Philly. My man just called in from Maryland. Gerald Howard's down south, Atlanta, South Carolina. He travels all over. So, you know what I'm saying? That's what it's about. I don't know what y'all think, man, but black men are all saying the same thing. Not even black men, but certain types of black men. The positive black men, the elite black men, we're all saying the same things. If you want one of these no-good niggas, then that's cool. You can listen to them. You can listen to the haters. But if you want, you know, a good dude, you got to listen up, ladies, because this is the future right here. This is what all black men want. You know, we want a good, humble, respectable woman. That's it. Not the Nicki Minaj, not the Beyoncé's. Black women hate when I talk about Beyoncé. They literally hate it. But they don't understand that Beyoncé is not just what black men don't want. She's the opposite of what black men want. Not just a little bit. I have never in my life, not heard one black man ever say anything remotely close to, damn, I would love to marry a woman like Beyoncé. Never. They say the opposite. Do y'all know that? Do y'all think I'm lying? Do y'all think I make this stuff up? Yet you ask every single black woman, they think that she is like the perfect wife. They love Beyoncé. They try to be Beyoncé. They eat, drink, and sleep trying to think about how to be like Beyoncé. And it's exactly, not even a little bit, it is exactly why so many black women are single. In fact, on a live Keeping It Real Fridays, we're going to dissect Beyoncé's song Party, where she is throwing, we're going to talk about that song, but more so it's going to be just us talking about women who live that party lifestyle, that we like to party, you know what I'm saying? All that, you know, that keeps y'all single, living that party life. Like my man just said, he said, you got to get into God. One of my best friends, man, one of my homies, one of the best men I know, and one of the few men who I can actually say changed my life, the godfather of my daughter, my homie, Osho High. He told me, I mean, we used to run the streets together growing up. You know, I met him in like 10th grade, you know what I'm saying? And we used to wild out, college, road trip, all that stuff. But he gave his life over to God a long time before I did. When I was still running the streets, he was praising God in the streets. Literally, you know what I mean? And seeing it, he doesn't know it all like that, but, you know, some things, but he really changed my life, you know? And I, you know, you guys got an opportunity to hear from him when I did my special on the absence of strong black men in the church. Probably one of the best men I know. I asked him straight up so all the country, everybody could hear. I said, Osho, I said, because he married a single mom, which is something I wouldn't even have done. Not saying there's anything wrong with that, but that just wasn't my thing. But his wife, you know, was a single mom. He married her, and this is the best man that I know. You know what I'm saying? And I asked, I said, well, what did you look for in a woman? And he said, yo, honestly, man, my wife is, you know, she's humble, she's respectable, she's beautiful, but most importantly, when I met her, she was on fire for God. He said, that's what really made her special to me. You know, that's what really made me wife her up. If you guys didn't hear that show, man, to this day, that's probably one of my all-time favorite shows in the history of this show. Out of probably close to 1,000 shows, that was my favorite show of all time, man. Listen to it if you missed it. But, Gerald, you remember that show, man. I mean, help women understand that what men really look for.
I mean, some of the biggest things you just pointed out, being humble, you know, being respectful of your man and of yourself. And a lot of times, ladies, when you respect yourself, then you're respecting your man. If your man sees you dressed a certain type of way, you know, when he's not around, then that's a form of disrespect, not only to yourself in his eyes, but to him as well. You know, being a selfless lady, not being selfish, being submissive, but at the same time being strong. And those are things that a lot of women don't know how to do. They don't know how to be submissive and strong at the same time. They think that, you know what, if they're arguing with their man and they're getting the last word, then you know what, that makes them strong. Or that man can't talk to them any type of way, whatever. Oh, and little things like that is why these men are saying, you know what, I love her. We have these kids together. You know, we've been together for a while. I'm going to be with her. I'm still going to stick around, but I'm going to go and, you know, make another family. I'll make a pretend family outside of my relationship with her, because I want to be with a woman who is actually humble, a woman who actually is what I picture as a woman. And those just little things like that, you know, is what men say to other men. They won't tell it to their woman, obviously. They won't tell it to women. But men, when we talk amongst one another, and these are the things that we're saying to one another as far as, you know, what we want in a woman or why we're doing wrong to our women, things of that nature.
Absolutely. I want to give you, and it's funny that Gerald just said something, because this was my next point that I want to I want to get into a little bit. Matter of fact, let's go to the phone lines, and I'm going to give you a very good analogy as we move on to our next example of a great woman. But I see a call here from the 314 area code. Welcome to Barbershop Talk Tuesdays. 314-827, you there?
Hello?
Yes, hello, welcome.
Hey, Dadon. I'm one of your veteran callers, actually. And it's funny, like, actually what you were just talking about as far as the whole Beyonce thing, because it was weird, because I was like, you know, I had lost, like, well, I'm now at 90 pounds of, like, weight loss or whatever, and I had lost a bunch of weight and stuff. And so I'm like, okay, you know, at that time, like, even before then, I'm like, okay, God's going to bless me with my elite man and everything. And, you know, I dyed my hair blonde. And it actually brought me the opposite effect, because I'm thinking, oh, he's going to want to see me glamorous and stuff. No, I'm back to my regular hair color, and it's actually better to that. And it's just putting some things in perspective. And I'm like, you know, let me get back to Dadon. Let me listen back to Dadon. Let me get back to what I need to get back to, because, you know, some things have been taken out of perspective, like just seeing everything just out here, you know. I'm just seeing how much, you know, and I saw, like, men really want women to smut themselves out, and I have to take that from you, that term. Men really want women to smut themselves out here, and I'm just sitting here like, oh, my gosh. So, yeah.
Yeah. Where are you calling in from? Where's out here?
St. Louis, Missouri.
St. Louis, Missouri. Guys, be clear. Don't get it twisted for a second, man. The whole country listens to this show, man. I'm trying to tell y'all, as people listening with their Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity sunglasses on, not wanting to admit that they listen to this show. But don't for a second think that literally everybody out there is not trying to get this information. I don't care if they're listening to it silently and secretly from their cell phones at DadonTolbert.com, where all you got to do is turn on your speakers. But there isn't a woman on this planet who's ever heard of me that does not listen to this show. I 100% guarantee it. So I promise you that. There's something going on here, that this is the future. And the, you know what I'm saying? And you would literally be crazy to not want to get this information, because everybody wants love. You know what I'm saying? Everybody wants love. And like she said, why would you, you know, and I respect, let me just say, I really respect you, one, for being a faithful listener from back in the day, but two, for making the mistakes. And I'm not even going to probe her. I'm not going to put her on the spot, but I'm willing to bet that some really bad things happened, you know, or were about to happen when she dyed that hair blonde. Because most likely, with the blonde hair, most likely probably came some different types of changes in attitude and style of dress and different things, because she was looking for attention. And like she said, with that type of attention, you know, you'll get the attention you're seeking. You know, it won't be the attention you want, but it will be attention, and it'll be negative attention. So it'll be sexual attention. You know, that I mean, when you think of blonde, I mean, I hate to be like this, but how many wives do you really see, black women, with blonde hair, with blonde weaves? Really, like, you don't got to call in, but just in your own, I don't care what part of the country you're in, just look around you. Look, and I do this just to amuse myself sometimes. I look at the actual women with rings on their fingers, not all the time. I'm not going to lie and say it's 100% of the time, but much more often than not, you don't see the weaves, okay? You don't see the hair colors. You don't see the seductive clothing, the provocative and ridiculous style of dress, the breast hanging all out. That is something that you typically see from single women thinking that that's how they have to dress to get a man, okay, based on what's the definition of beauty that society has put out there. But I don't know too many men who are going to tolerate their woman walking around half naked. I mean, unless it's outside the bedroom. Who wants their woman dressed like a whore? You know, not me. You know, not Gerald, not Dre. You know, not my man from Maryland that just called in. So, you know, it is what it is. Now, keeping it moving, let's get back to business, because I want to make sure we give these women, these great black women. We often talk a lot about, you know, just the not-so-good women and the not-so-perfect wives, but these are really great women that need to be recognized. You know, and Gerald mentioned, he said, you know, he said something about the attitude. Now, if you got Malcolm X, is probably, you ask me what's my favorite movie of all time, 90% of the time, 99.9% of the time, I'm going to tell you Malcolm X. That is a classic movie, all right? Now, Betty Shabazz, and this is such a great example that I'm about to give, because it shows what should happen in these households. In Malcolm X, you know, Betty Shabazz had some very, very valid points when they were arguing about the money. She's like, look, Malcolm, you know, we don't have money. We barely have food. The kids never see you. You know, the minister, what's his name, Elijah Muhammad is getting rich, and we sitting up here starving. And she was not feeling it. She was trying to tell him something. She had valid points. And they were getting it. He was like, look, he was keeping this cool. And then she got hype with him, and rightfully so. She made. I'm stressing the fact that she was not tripping, because her points were valid. They needed to be said. She needed to be heard. But when she raised her voice, he said, "Don't you raise your voice in my house." You know what I mean? And that's just what it was. And you saw how quickly she humbled herself. You saw how quickly she submitted. You saw how quickly she lowered that voice. Now, that is how it should be. All right. Now, the feminists out there, the single women out there, the women who are about to get into an argument with their man tonight out there, are not going to be feeling that. But if you're talking about wanting the best possible man who is going to be led by God, you know what I mean, like, and really be a great man to you and to your family, you need to just humble yourself. Because the Bible says to wives, submit to your husbands as he submits to God. There's nothing wrong with being submissive. Some of y'all have a problem with this independent woman thing. You think that being independent is the opposite of being submissive. It's not. They have nothing to do with each other. You know, you can be very independent and be submissive. Just ask my wife. You know what I'm saying? Ask Michelle Obama. So what I'm trying to tell y'all is, all that back and forth, all that arguing, all those power struggles, that is not the perfect wife. The perfect wife knows she's able to express herself. She's able to convey her points. We don't want robots who just don't speak and don't say nothing. We want you to have dialogue. Me and my wife get into it. We talk. But all that yelling, all that nagging, all that, you know, extra stuff, that's just going to leave you single. Or to be real with you, a lot of times it's going to leave you getting cheated on. For real, for real. You know, Gerald, what are your thoughts on that? A lot of women don't want to hear that, but it's very true.
No, it is true, they don't. Because, I mean, men don't like to argue. I mean, they don't like to argue with their woman. I mean, that's just not the way that we like to do things. I mean, a lot of men have issues with communicating as is. So if a man has a problem talking with you and getting his feelings and thoughts out by talking, I mean, he's not going to get it out arguing and yelling with you. It's just not going to happen. So what he's going to do is, as Dayton said, as I said earlier, he's going to find somebody that he can actually talk to, somebody who's going to listen to him. And every woman listening knows that, every woman listening knows that there's always going to be that other woman who, you know what, just knows how to make a man feel good about himself, who is okay being the other woman, being the side chick, that woman who's hoping that your man is going to come to her, and she always has that dream that she's going to steal your man. Eventually, he's going to fall in love with her and see that, you know, she's the one for him. And obviously, in most cases, he never goes to that woman, but it's on a full-time basis. But that kind of woman, is always out there. And if she has her own issues why she can't ever have that man for herself, but at the same time, she has some just enough where it messes up things with you. You don't want that. You don't need that going on. And it's a fine line. You have to be, as his woman, you have to know how to be that woman, and you have to be who you want to be as well. You don't want to lose yourself, but you just have to understand that the teachings, the things in the Bible, as far as, you know, being a humble woman, being a woman who speaks with wisdom and speaks with kindness versus, you know, ignorance and bitterness and things of that nature, you have to really, you know, this is not something that is coming from us, our thoughts. These are things that are in the Bible, you know, in Proverbs. And until you learn how to be that type of woman, that virtuous woman, then, I mean, there's always going to be issues and disconnect. And again, every man doesn't deserve that type of woman. Every man wants that type of woman. You have to recognize, are you with a man who deserves that type of woman? If you're with a man who doesn't deserve a virtuous woman, I mean, still, you should be a virtuous woman for yourself. But if you're with a man who doesn't deserve a virtuous woman, then you need to get out of that situation and find a man who deserves you. But at the same time, if you're not that woman, it doesn't matter what type of man you're with, you're never going to have a great relationship.
I mean, exactly, you know. I don't know what a lot of y'all are expecting, you know, some type of divine intervention, but y'all got to realize that God helps, you know, those who help themselves. Now, another thing that I looked up some statistics, actually, and this is a very interesting one. We all know the divorce rate in the black community is very high. It's somewhere around 70%, something crazy. It's like, you know, much higher than the national divorce rate. However, the divorce rate in the Muslim community is actually significantly lower. Now, that's interesting, you know, and I'm not, you know, obviously I'm not a Muslim or anything like that, and I'm not, like, extra knowledgeable on it, you know, but I do know a little bit, like, there's a certain type of way that Muslim women are supposed to carry themselves when they're married, you know, and, you know, matter of fact, I may have to, one of my rebroadcast shows, we may have to rebroadcast an all-time classic on Christianity versus Islam. With my man Bassem Fahmy, who called in and dropped some serious knowledge when we got into sex and relationships in regards to and some of the major differences and similarities between Islam and Christianity. So if you missed it, you can always Google it on, you know, and check it out the archives. But I will be rebroadcasting that sometime in the near future, maybe this weekend actually, maybe on Sunday. Maybe I'll do that Sunday for y'all. Look out for it. What else? But yeah, so that was just an interesting statistic that I found. Who else do I want to go to next? Let's go to Florida Evans. Let's talk about, and we kind of talked about her, you know, a few shows ago, maybe a few weeks ago, but a couple points that we didn't touch on. Florida from Good Times, you know, rest in peace to Esther Rolle, you know, just one of the all-time great wives, perfect wives, like everything a man would look for in a wife. Look at, I mean, she held the house down. She had her man's back. And this is probably one of the most important things that a lot of y'all don't realize. We're talking tonight, if you just joined us, about the perfect wife. Okay, what does it look like to be the perfect wife? What does the perfect wife act like? Well, many men, many great men, many entrepreneurs, you know, Chris Gardner, you know, hell, the Dayton Tolberts, the Gerald Howards, the Barack Obamas of the world, you know, many of us, we didn't start out being successful. We didn't always, you know, do what we're doing. You know, we started out at a certain place. And, you know, when you look at James, this dude was poor. Their whole family was poor in the projects. He was going from job to job. We'd get laid off. We'd get fired. And every day, he would come home suited up looking for a job. How'd it go, James? You know, Florida, you know, ain't nobody trying to hire me. That, you know, down on his luck, really doubting himself. She's like, don't worry about it. It'll get better. You know, just get back out there tomorrow. And if you know, if you watch Good Times, like I watched Good Times back in the day, even when his kids would be looking at him like, damn, that's kind of, his wife never doubted him. His wife always had, you know, support in her eyes. She always had love in her eyes. She never demeaned him. She never disrespected him. She never made him feel like less of a man. She never made him feel like a failure. And this dude, and he wasn't a failure, but there were, you know, he could have felt like a failure because he couldn't provide for his family all like that. They had a rent party. They had to have a party to pay their rent. They were constantly being threatened by being evicted, you know. And even in the midst of that, she never left. You never even saw them fight about money. In fact, it was the opposite. They had laughs. They had good times. You know what I'm saying? And that was just so commendable. And that's why so many men love Good Times, because they want what he had. You know, a great wife. You know, a respectable wife. A wife you could bring home to mom. A wife who's going to be a great mom. A provider. Gerald, when you look at those, you know, reruns of Good Times, man, how do you feel about having a wife like that?
I mean, she is like the perfect example, the perfect picture, the perfect thought of, you know, what you're going to want in a wife, from a wife. I mean, a lot of men aren't going to be, like, physically attracted to her, and that's what a lot of women are already saying. I mean, look at her. Did you see her? But, I mean, it goes way beyond that. I mean, the beauty was who she was as a mother, as a wife, as you said, everything you named, as far as, you know, taking up for a man, you know, never belittling him, trying to emasculate him, demean him, things of that nature, having that respect, I mean, encouraging him. Now, that's the things that men want from a woman. When it's all said and done, I mean, if we are struggling, are you going to be there, or are you going to be looking for the next way out? Are you going to be saying things along the lines of, you know what, are you going to have thoughts of, maybe I shouldn't have gotten with you in the first place, or I could be doing better with somebody else, or the famous line that everyone wants to use, I can do bad all by myself. I mean, if you have those types of thoughts, and if you're saying those types of things, then you know what? I mean, you may think that that man isn't worthy of you, but in reality, you aren't worthy of that man. You should not have been with, you shouldn't even be with that man if you can't be there in the bad times. When things are good, I mean, you reap that. I mean, you benefit from that. So when things are bad, I mean, if you love them, if you really say that you love them and you really mean it, then you need to be willing to accept those times as well. If he's treating you good, it's a whole other story. If he's cheating on you and beating on you and things of that nature, again, that's not a good man. We're not talking about those types of men. But I'm talking about a good man. He may just be have fallen on hard times. If he's a good man, then you need to be a good woman and do right by him, just as you would have him do right by you. Too many women aren't able to do that in today's society. They take that stance. I can do bad all by myself, or you know what? They're only the fair weather girlfriends, fair weather wives, looking for the next best thing, and that's not a good woman.
We're talking about the perfect wife tonight, man. Gerald just said it. You know, nobody wants a woman like that. You know, I've heard women hating on and disrespecting Florida Evans. Estherole, you know, talking about some nappy, she had nappy afro, nobody wants that. I mean, what y'all got to really, hey, Joe, stop laughing, man. You know, Morgan is making me laugh over here. No, seriously, that's not cool, man, because the reality is all of y'all are going to look like her one day. You know, even if you're 90 years old, you know, however old, nobody, you're not going to look, whatever you think you look like now, you got to think ahead of, you know, a few years ahead. You know, everybody is going to have to be the type of woman that, you know, ages, and men are going to age as well. So you got to have something to fall back on. You know, those looks are going to fade. Morgan, you hit me up on the instant message. Stop making me laugh. That's not fun. Why are you talking about Esther Roll like that? I think we're having some problems with Morgan's microphone. We try to get Morgan back on the line. Some technical difficulties, man. But let's keep it moving, man. We're going to try to who else do I want to talk about? Florida, I mean, what else can we say about her? Let's go to Claire Huxtable. You can't talk about or do a show on, you know, the perfect wife without talking about everybody's favorite TV mom, Claire Huxtable, Felicia Rashad. You know, she was a great mother to the Cosby kids, a great wife to Cliff. I wasn't allowed to watch TV growing up. My mom and dad, we used to sneak and try to watch BET. Actually, I'll tell you a quick story. My mom and dad are still together, you know, raised us in a great home. We didn't even have cable growing up. You know what I'm saying? Not because we couldn't afford it, but because they didn't want us to watch it. You know what I mean? That's just really what it was. They didn't want us to be, you know, into the BET videos and seeing these naked women. That's the funniest thing. My mom was like, yeah, you always want, you know, y'all ain't going to be watching these naked women, these freaks out here. You know, that's where I got it from. They didn't want us being subjected to that. So it was one year that the Olympics was on. And they said, all right, you know, we're going to let y'all get the, you know, we're going to get cable for the summertime. And we're going to get, you know, you're going to get cable just so you can watch the different events. And because I was in track, so I wanted to see different track and field events and other events. So he said, all right, cool, we got cable for just that summer. But then, you know, towards the end of the summer, my dad, me and my brother, we were watching cable. And it just so happened the one time that they called us, it just so happened to be BET on. And it was like one of those swimsuit videos. And my dad, he came in, he didn't say anything, he went upstairs, and then we were watching TV. Next thing you know, the cable was off, the picture went blank. So we went upstairs to tell him, like, yo, dad, the cable's off. Well, hey, can you call the cable? He said, oh, no, I know. So what happened? He said, no, I called and turned it off. And so that was that. That was our, I guess, so the point of the story, the moral of that story is, really doesn't have a moral, it's just a funny story, you know what I mean? But for real, it's just one of those things where, you know, you don't want to be, it all stems back to the parents, you know what I mean? It stems back to being a great wife to your husband and being a great mother to your kids and not, allowing certain things and not allowing certain things. Joe, any thoughts? I mean, just hearing, I don't think I've ever shared that particular story on the show. Any thoughts on that?
No, I never heard that one. They're definitely a funny story right there, a crazy situation just to have the TV go off when you're really getting into it, good and everything. But, you know, as you said, it goes back to protecting your children and understanding that, you know, if in your case, I mean, it was males watching it, but a lot of times it's females, young little girls watching these videos. And, you know, back then when we were watching, what was it, BET Late at Night had something like Uncut or something like that. I mean, it used to get a little crazy. And the videos now, I mean, they're just as crazy, just as explicit. And little girls are watching these videos. And little girls are doing these dances. Little girls are singing these songs. They're talking about love, talking about sex, things of that nature. And we try and ask ourselves, you know, why are they getting pregnant or why are they so promiscuous? Well, I mean, everything. I mean, all of that plays a role. The TV shows they watch, the kissing and touching, and you know, all of the stations, especially the black entertainment, the black Atlanta, Housewives of Atlanta, L.A., all that foolishness that kids are watching. I mean, we can only look at ourselves, point the fingers at ourselves, those of us who are parents, and say, you know what, I have to do a better job of protecting and sheltering my kids. And parents don't do it anymore like your parents did, like my parents did, like most of us who are listening, our parents did shelter us from those things. Now we want our kids to have everything, but they don't need to have everything. We want to give them all these pleasures, television and radio and whatnot, but we don't want to give them God. We don't want to take them to church anymore. I mean, everything's just mixed up now, Beta.
All right, yeah, it's just a hot mess, man. You know, and I really do appreciate the sacrifices my mom made, my dad made. You know, nowadays people don't have parents willing to sacrifice. Nowadays, in fact, a lot of moms, we talk, you know, they're talking about being wives, but for real, a lot of these single moms out here are some of the biggest freaks. They're more worried about, you know, getting some sex and trying to find a man, so they're not really even worried about, you know, how that looks to their kids. I mean, you just go on Facebook and you see, I mean, some of these single moms are just a hot-ass mess, you know, posing in pictures. One, you know, you look at that profile picture album, one picture is them half naked, the next picture is them holding their son. I'm like, what the hell? Holding their daughter. But the next, you're posing in your bikini. You know, I mean, who does that? I have literally no respect for people like that, because those are the women that are literally destroying these young kids' youth, you know, and giving them these images. Well, damn, if mama's a hoe, you know, hell, I might as well be a hoe. If it's, you're talking about a daughter, if it's a dude, it's like, hey, my mom didn't respect herself, so why should I respect these young women? I mean, either way, ladies, you're destroying your kids. If y'all see that, man, let these chicks know, man, it's disgusting. You know, if you want to be a hoe, you want to be a freak, hey, do you. But I take exception when you involve kids into it. If you're a single mom, if you're a mom, period, you really need to be a great mom. And it's not all about your sexual needs. It's not all about you trying to find a man. You feel like you got to do certain things to get a man. I mean, do that on your own time. You know, seriously. Let's go to the phone lines, man. But that's a sensitive subject. I'm passionate about that, man. I'm not afraid to tell a single mom off if she's disrespecting her kids. I'll disrespect the mom for disrespecting her children. I have no problem with that. And it's the same for the fathers too. I'll tell them to their face, you know, stop. You know, they need to be there. It's not the kid's fault that you had sex with a woman who didn't respect her body, and then you got her pregnant. You didn't want anything to do with her, so you don't want anything to do with the kid. That's not the kid's fault. Is he got caught up in that little pattern, that little cycle? You know, do what you got to do. You know, stop having sex, ladies, fellas. Stop hitting everything. Stop knocking everything off. You know, it is what it is, man. Like Gerald said, it's just, you know, people's priorities are totally jacked up, man. It was bad 10 years ago. It's even worse now. Let's go to the phone line. I see a couple calls here. I see a call from the 240 area code. Welcome to Barbershop Talk Tuesdays.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, I wanted to call and say that, like what y'all was saying, like, which is totally true. Like, a lot of women out here, they do have their priorities straight. You know, they feel like, oh, they'd rather go to the club, you know, shake their ass and do all this and that instead of doing what's important. And also with that, you know, a lot. Men do play a part, like y'all always say. And really, like y'all, a lot of things y'all say in the archive shows, you know, the daddy issues and all that goes with that. So, you know, all that baggage they carrying on, and then they're not really, you know, honing in on, you know, harnessing what's important. You know, really, like, focusing on God, you know, getting your priorities straight and bettering yourself. And then when you're trying to find a man, you know, look for the right type of man, a man that has God in his life, that's focused, trying to better himself, and, you know, that's just on the right track. Because a lot of women see that, you know, oh, that fast life, that fast money, oh, he has this, he has that, but not truly saying what's internally. Because a lot of people see the external, like, okay, yeah, he got this, he got that, or she got this and got that, and it could be totally jacked up. But a lot of people, women and many men, need to really realize, you know, go for what's internal and really focus on that, and then, you know, everything else with God will, you know, take care of all of that.
Oh, man, I feel you. Great points. And, you know, just so y'all know, you know, I know we got some first-time listeners, but I'm the wrong one to expect to be politically correct. I'm not going to sugarcoat a damn thing. Yes, black men play a role, but at the end of the day, ladies, you need to keep your legs closed. You know, you understand what I'm saying to you? You know, at some point, you got to stop pointing the finger. At some point, you got to start taking responsibility. Because, this is about being the perfect wife. If you want to be a wife, you got to keep your legs closed. You know what I mean? You cannot be out here being a freak. You cannot be out here getting tatted up and expect black men to not think that you're a freak. See, one of the things that y'all don't realize is we don't marry freaks. A lot of women, they say, oh, I want a lady in the streets, but a street and a freak in the sheets. But that's how do you think? I mean, I don't even know who came up with that statement, but it makes no sense. A lady in the streets, but a freak in the sheets. Well, how do we find out if you're a freak in the sheets? Because you gave us some ass, you know? I mean, think about it. So most likely you were, because we got you to be a freak in the sheets, because we saw you as also being a freak in the streets. You guys understand what I'm saying to y'all? There's no separation. Just don't be a freak. You know, be a wife. You know, I've never heard a man say that. That's a woman thing. You ever notice that? You never hear black men saying that. I want a lady in the streets, but a freak in the sheets. That's not even what we're looking for. We're looking for respectable women, period. Period. That's it. Sex is the, you guys, have you noticed? Funny thing, we've been on the air for almost 2 hours. We got on the air from 9, it's almost 11 o'clock Eastern time. Have you noticed that all the things we've been talking about tonight, we haven't even really talked about the importance of sex and wives giving their men sex and that being like a huge deal? As important as you guys think that is to us, we haven't even really spoken on it one time. We've talked about respectability. We've talked about being supportive. We've talked about emotional availability. Those are the most important things. You think sex is something that these men get married for? We've already gotten the sex, most likely, from you. Some of y'all just don't get it, man. Like Gerald said, you got it backwards. Let's go back to the phone line. See a call here from the 562 area code. Welcome to Barbershop Talk Tuesdays.
Hey, Daydon. Hey, Gerald. It's me, Amanda.
Oh, hey, Amanda. What's going on?
Hey, I'm good. I really like the topic tonight about being the perfect wife. And one thing that I've noticed a lot, predominantly in the black community, is women are actually taking away that right for men to be men in the relationship. And, you know, a lot of women point the finger, oh, he's not stepping up, you know, he's not going out of his way for me. But you're upset that he even would be considerate enough to open the door for you or order your dinner for you. I think those are things that we should allow men to do, and we've taken those things from them. So what do we expect?
Wow. You're keeping it. Amanda, let me just tell you, you're like a, everybody's been talking about your appearance on the show last night and you calling in and just really sharing your story and being brave. What have you gotten any feedback from that? How have you felt since then?
Yeah, it was definitely more so for me. It was definitely freeing for me. The shame and the guilt went away because how can the devil accuse you when you've already admitted that you've done those things? And a lot of people have been really encouraging, like, oh, my gosh, you know, you had a lot of guts to just go ahead and say it. And I just feel a lot more free, so it was really helpful.
That's what's up. Well, it's good to where are you from? Do you feel comfortable letting people know what state you're calling from?
I'm from California.
Cali. All right. Well, I already knew that, of course, but, you know, I just wanted to let everybody else know. She's all the way in Cali. And one of the things that my new nonprofit organization is going to do is the Each Woman Foundation, Emotionally Available with a Changed Heart. That's going to be launching in the spring, and it's going to connect women like Amanda, who's going to be very active in it, like Morgan, like the women, you know, St. Louis, Maryland, Atlanta, South Carolina, like Mississippi, all the women that you hear on a regular basis calling into the show, and who even women you don't hear calling into this show. You know, it's just going to be an international support system for women who are struggling with emotional unavailability. And, you know, if you'd like to be a part of it, you'd like more information, shoot me an email at askdaydon@gmail.com, and we'll put you on the mailing list when really, you know, when things get going and, you know, really get rolling. This thing is going to move fast, so it's going to take over the world. Everybody, and it's, well, just watch. I guarantee you, this time 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you know, the Each Woman Foundation is going to be a household name. Thousands of people across the world talking about it, and it's just, you know, like Martin Luther King had a dream. I have a dream, and I see it. You know, God's confirmed it, and, you know, it's just what's going on, man. A couple other things I wanna say before we wrap it up, just about the perfect wife. One of the things that, you know, I always say, and I've done video blogs on this, there's extensive information in What Women Need to Know But Don't Want to Hear available on Black Friday, my new CD. Check it out, you know, pre-order now, free shipping. But, you know, like, one of the things I talk about is, when you're a wife, you know, to a great man, black men, you need to do things to get that man. But more importantly, you need to do things to keep that man. I just did a show on, what was it, Sunday night, I rebroadcasted it, Not Easily Broken, How to Build and Maintain a Successful Marriage, which was another great show. Check out the archives if you missed it. All shows can be found at DadonTauber.com. You can log on to from your iPhone, your any smartphone. Just go to BlogTalkRadio.com/DadonTauber. Save it in your favorites. Listen every, you know, right from your phone while you're at the gym or at work, whatever. iTunes, we're on there as well. But you must, and Gerald, we talk about this a lot. You have to sustain your man, your husband, mentally, emotionally, and sexually. Or I should really say physically, which doesn't always necessarily mean sexually. But, you know, sex is a part of marriage. Mentally, emotionally, and sexually. If you do those three things, you know, well, you're going to have a happy man. You're going to have a great marriage. However, if you don't, you're going to have a not-so-good marriage and a not-so-happy man. Gerald, any thoughts on those three things? You know, the importance of satisfying a man mentally, emotionally, and physically?
Oh, man, very, very, very important. And as you, I mean, the people listening notice, I mean, the sexually, the physical part, I mean, that was the last thing that was said. And, I mean, that's the way it's going to be. And when you're talking about, you know, having a actual long-lasting relationship, actually being there for one another, I mean, those other aspects, that emotional and that mental connection, and above that is that spiritual connection. If you don't have those things, then nothing else is going to matter. But, I mean, that's something that we all need. Men are going to need that from their women, and women are going to need that from their man. If you don't have those things, I mean, he's going to want to get that someplace else. And we haven't talked much about the physical aspect of things, but, I mean, that's important as well. I mean, it's important for you to, you know, keep yourselves up, keep yourselves healthy. I mean, no, we get older, our bodies change, but at the same time, we have to try and take care of our bodies and remain to a certain degree where our partner is going to still be attracted to us, still going to want to be affectionate with us. I mean, no, that when we start talking about the physical, that's when we start getting the hate mail. I don't want to get too much into it tonight, but definitely those three things, the emotional, the mental, spiritual as well, enveloping everything, but the physical as well, you got to ask yourself, am I satisfying my man in all of those areas?
And I like what you said, and that was my next point, is you got it. That's where the self-reflection comes in. You got to ask yourself that, because you won't always know what your man is thinking. No, you're not a mind reader. That's why you have to know. You have to ask yourself, am I satisfying him emotionally? Is he thinking about me mentally, you know, sexually? Is he satisfied physically? Is he satisfied? You know, and that doesn't always necessarily have to mean intercourse. It could just mean, you know, does he like what he's looking at? You know, and that's, I mean, it's necessary. You know, and one of the things I, you know, just to kind of break it down just a little bit further, you know, nobody wants to be cheated on, you know, but if you look into the mental aspect of it, if he's satisfied mentally, meaning if he's thinking about you, then guess what? He's not going to be thinking about other women. If he's all the time thinking about you and how great you are, how special you are, reminiscing on how great your relationship, what time does he have to be thinking about other women? Now, emotionally, you know, if he's missing you, if he's loving you when you're not around, then guess what? He's going to naturally want to be around you. So most likely he won't be around other women if he's always longing to be with you, right? That's the emotional connection that you guys have. Now, sexually, let's just be real about it. Think about it. I mean, we are very visual creatures. We're sexual creatures. If he's thinking about having sex with you, most likely, I'm just saying, anything's possible, but most likely, if he's actually thinking about having sex with you, he probably won't be thinking about having sex with other women, and most likely, and definitely won't be acting on that, you know, and actually having sex with other women if he's always thinking about sex with you and loves having sex with you. So those are just three things. A lot of women don't want to hear that. They don't want to do the self-reflection. Like my man said, they're not up for that challenge. They don't want to have to step outside of their comfort zone and feel like, wow, I actually have to do some things. But I promise you, if you do those three things, you satisfy your man physically, emotionally, and mentally, you know, your man is going to be happy. You know, Jared, any last things to add to that before I go back to the phone lines real quick?
Nah, Dayton, that's it. You always have to be doing the self-reflecting and asking yourselves. I mean, is he satisfied in those three ways? Because as we said earlier, I mean, he may not know how to communicate those things to you. And that's why you, as a woman, I mean, you say, well, dang, I have to do so much. Well, when you do so much, I mean, you get so much. I mean, nobody said it was going to be easy, but at the same time, you just have to be willing to do the things to make that relationship exactly how you want it to be. And, you know, if you have to do a little bit more communicating, a little bit more mind reading, as we like to say, hey, it'll all be worth it when you know that you have a man who is loving you the right way and who is happily at home with you and not looking and trying to go someplace else.
Yeah, man. Look, man, I'm going to be honest with y'all. Y'all owe me something, man. Y'all owe me something. Tonight you owe Gerald something as well. This is – y'all don't think y'all realize. This is the – we're giving you a blueprint, a step-by-step handbook on how to be the perfect wife. Do you guys know that one show, you know, and I'm not trying to too much, I'm just being honest with you. I'm just being real with y'all. Listening to just one show, forget 7 nights a week. Imagine how much information you get 7 nights a week. I'm talking about just one show is more valuable than any relationship book, any TV show, any magazine. You know it, I know it, everybody knows it. So y'all owe us something. All we're requiring, y'all don't got to buy anything. I'm asking y'all to share this, man. Post this link on your walls. You know, tell people, tell your friends. There is no excuse for everybody not to know about this show or get this information. You understand what I'm saying to y'all? It's literally a crime not to share. Like, if you have a single friend who's doing some things that you know, it's like, wow, she's emotional. You're not a good friend if you don't direct her to this show. I'm not trying to boost ratings. Everybody needs to hear what Gerald Howard has to say, what Morgan has to say. There's not a person or a woman on this planet who didn't need to hear what Amanda had to say last night. You understand what I'm saying to y'all? So just kind of want to throw it out there. I see another call on the line from the 414 area code. Welcome to Barbershop Talk Tuesdays.
Hi, Daydon. I do have a question for you guys, and that is, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm listening. Yeah, what's going on?
I'm so sorry. Okay, so my question is, what are your thoughts about a single female having male friends?
Good question. Let me just ask you a question. First of all, are you single?
Yes.
You sound like you're single. I just had a feeling that you were single, but that's a good question, though. I'll ask you, I'm going to flip it. What do you think about a female having, are you familiar with this show? Have you listened before?
Yeah, I listen all the time, actually.
So what do you think that I'm going to say about a female having male friends?
I know that you would say that if you've had been intimate with them in the past, then you would not like them to be your friend. However, if you're just platonic friends, I don't think that's a big deal.
Right. What's your definition of platonic?
Someone that you're not attracted to.
Okay. All right. Well, good question. I'll answer that for you. Let everybody know where you're calling in from.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Wow, that's what's up, guys. Wisconsin, Missouri, Maryland, Atlanta. You know, I mean, the word is spreading, guys. You know, word is spreading. You know, this concept of emotional availability is going to encompass the entire globe. I promise y'all. You know what I mean? One by one, woman by woman, you know, soon everybody will want to be emotionally available and strive to be found by an elite man. But, you know, and I can't wait for that. I'm just so excited. You know, I wake up. I don't even sleep anymore. My wife will tell you, I don't even sleep. I sleep about 4 or 5 hours a night. I pop up. 6 in the morning, like excited about what the new day, you know, is going to bring. You know, I'm just tripping. I'm just, you know, excited about that. I just want to share it with y'all. But to answer her question, you know, I mean, she's right on. She pretty much took the words out of my mouth as far as, you know, I mean, the whole point of it, you guys got to look at it, you know, what do you want? Do you want to have friends or do you want a husband? Because at the end of the day, the way society is, in, you know, right now, most men are so familiar with women who have these quote-unquote male friends who back in the day they used to have sex with, They used to be, you know, jump offs, booty calls, you know, and they got it in at one point or another. And that's many women engage in those types of friendships. And we know that as men. So, again, if we're talking about the perfect wife, because, again, you got to look at your goal. What do you want? Do you want a whole bunch of men that, you know, want to have sex with you? A whole bunch of dudes that are in your life? Or do you want a man who's going to love you unconditionally and trust you unconditionally? So it's up to you. You can have as many friends as you want. But if you want a husband, you know, you got to think and be respectful of what that husband is comfortable with. It's not about, see, a lot of women in today's society, they feel like, well, shoot, you know, my friends are my friends, and they were there before me, and they're going to be there after you. Well, if you got that attitude, you might as well not even have a man. If you're thinking about if your friends are going to be there after them, they're going to be there after them. Why are you even, you know, what's the point? But I guess what I want to say about it is we're looking for women who are emotionally available. We're looking for women who don't have a whole bunch of dudes writing on their Facebook page, you know, Facebook wall. We aren't looking for a whole bunch of profile pictures with you holding hands or you got dudes' arms around you. Now, that could be your cousin. That could be your platonic friend. Do we know that? No. Are we going to take the time to really get to know who that is? No. You need to think outside of the box and be proactive and be like, what would my future husband say about this friend? Is he going to be comfortable? Now, if that's your friend, that's your friend. I'm not going to tell you to cut off your friends. But if you know it's just somebody who's an associate, you know it's somebody you used to sleep with that you don't really want to cut off, and you feel like, I'm just going to keep him around until I meet that, you know, Mr. Right. Guess what? You're never going to meet Mr. Right. You're always going to be having that friend, and men are just going to have sex with you. That's just what it is. So, I mean, I tell you all this story all the time. One of my ex-girlfriends, a really great woman, an emotionally available woman, I met her at a festival. If you're from Philly, I met her at the Odunday Festival. I saw her, though. She saw me. I saw her. We kind of made eye contact, but she was with a man. Long story short, I'm not a disrespectful dude, so I didn't say anything. I didn't approach her, even though she was blatantly staring at me, and I was attracted to her too. But you know, and eventually she made it known to me. She approached me and was like, "Yo, what's up? You're not gonna say nothing?" So we had a conversation. I was like, "My bad. I didn't want to be disrespectful. I thought that was your man." She's like, "Man, please. That's my best friend. That's my best friend. We've been friends for 20 years." I was like, oh, all right, you know, my bad. So, you know, we exchanged numbers. She was a great woman. We ended up being boyfriend and girlfriend. That's, you know, but my point, you see what I'm saying? And this is me. You know how I am. You know how tough I can be. Like, I did my research. I made sure there was nothing fishy going on, and there wasn't. They were genuinely platonic friends. Now, so if it's something like that, then cool. But if not, then, you know, you got some cutting off to do. You got some changes to make in your life. Joe, how do you feel about that, though? What's your thoughts on platonic friends?
I mean, it pretty much boils down to, as you said, what your partner is okay with. If the man that you're dealing with is not okay with it, then it's going to cause confusion. I mean, you're not going to have a successful relationship. And as Dayon said, what you have to ask yourself, what's more important to you? You know, being buddy-buddy with different men or having a man who trusts you, respects you, and is okay with your relationship. And I always say, I mean, just those little rules, you know what, you know, treat others like you want to be treated. Would you be okay with your man having many female platonic friends? And most women can honestly, if they're honest with themselves, are going to say, no, they're not going to be okay with that. It's the same thing with men. I mean, most men are not going to be okay with you having many male friends. I mean, it's just, I mean, this is just not. I mean, it has nothing to do with jealousy in most cases, I don't think. I mean, a lot of times it's just about just a common respect. I mean, if your man is your man, he wants to be all the man that you need. We understand that you're going to have conversations with other men and things of that nature, but you know, to be on the telephone talking to another man, I'm going shopping, I'm going to see my male friend, I mean, me personally, I mean, that's not going to happen. That's just not going to happen, not even a little bit. So each man is different, but I always say to a woman, as they all said, ask yourself what's more important. Is it more important for you to have, you know, relationships with other men, as far even if it's just a friendship, platonic, or is it more important for you to have a relationship with your man? And you make that decision, and you go from there.
There you go. We're going to end the show like this. I got one advice question I absolutely have to read tonight, man. I cannot not read this question from my man. He wrote in a question, and it goes right along the lines of what we're talking about tonight. He says, "Dadon, man, this is Houston Jackson getting to you from Dallas, Texas. Man, I got to tell you that last night's show was absolutely crazy. You guys are off the chain, and I mean that in the best of way. I played basketball in college, and I was in a frat, so I can tell you firsthand that there are many, many women who get trains ran on them on a consistent basis during their college years. I took place in quite a few, and while I'm not proud to say, I'm not ashamed of it either. However, all of the women I know who took place in those types of events are beyond ashamed. So great advice from you all. That was definitely something that needed to be touched on that I haven't heard anyplace else. Now, Dadon, can you tell me how to make it known to a woman that what she's wearing to bed is not turning me on? It's actually turning me off. I know I can just come out. I know I just can't. I can come out and just tell her, but how do I do it in a nice way? My lady goes to bed in those freaking bloomer type of pajamas, and I truly believe that she thinks that she looks sexy in them. I mean, I get out the shower, I pull the sheets back to those things, and I just go to sleep downstairs. She gets upset with me because I'm not as intimate with her as I used to be, but she used to come to bed naked. Now I get the bloomers. I'm not cheating, and I'm not even thinking about cheating, but I'm not even turned on a little bit by what she wears. How can I make it known to her without hurting her feelings? Maybe I'll just make sure I'm around her and put the phone on speaker tonight when you guys discuss this. I appreciate the advice and keep doing your thing. I'm spreading the word." And that's, you know, shout out to my man down there from the Dallas, Texas area. And, I mean, that's really what it is, man. Black men are all talking. You know, they're all saying the same things. You know, you got to stimulate your man mentally, emotionally, and physically. And if you're not doing that, then you're going to get a nasty down advice letter just like the one you heard. Or you may not even get a letter. You know, it may be worse than he'll be talking to his homies. He'll be going to other women and finding women who come off, you know, in the way that they would ultimately want them to. It's not right, but, you know, this is not your politically correct show. This isn't a show about being right. This is a show about being real. You know, you're often going to hear things on here that you're outraged by. You can't believe it. But the reason, just like my man said, you're not going to hear this information anywhere else. Where else are you going to get this information? You know, how else would you know it? You know, it is what it is. Joe, how do you feel about that? What's your advice for my man Houston Jackson from Texas?
Man, you know, that's one of those ones where, I mean, as you said, he doesn't want to just come out and say it. And you don't have to just come out and say it. I mean, although that's going to help as well. But when it comes to how to say it without saying it, then you pull out your wallet. You pull out your wallet and you go to Victoria's Secrets, or you go to Walmart and buy a pack of tank tops, whatever. And when she goes to take a shower, you say, "Baby, you put this on tonight. I want you to wear this." You go in your drawer, you pull out the T-shirt, and you say, "Hey, wear this for me tonight." Oh, however you want to do it, be real, you know, smooth about it, sexy about it, and, you know, just make it all romantic. So, I mean, you don't have to hurt her feelings with something along those lines. I mean, you can say it. You don't have to say it verbally. You can write a note, leave it on the bed, put this on for me tonight. However you want to do it. Many ways you can go about it. But my advice to you, if you don't want to just, you know, sit her down and talk about it, go buy something sexy for her once she puts it on. Oh, compliment her. Tell her, "You know what, I like it when you wear things like this. This is what I want to see you in more often." And I think you'll be okay from that point on.
Absolutely. And that's really what it's all about. And ladies, again, you don't want your man to be thinking this or feeling like this or talking to anybody about this, about you. Just you, that's why, again, you have to be so conscious of how you're coming off. How do you look? How do you act? You know, whether it's the attitude, your personality, your looks, your weight, you know, everything, man. Y'all don't want to hear that, but especially about the weight. But, you know, Kelly Rowland said in one of her songs, one of the best songs ever made, actually, Destiny's Child song, Cater to You. You know, she said, I'll remain the same chick that you fell in love with. You know, I should have played that song tonight. You know, that would have been a perfect song as far as a perfect wife, you know. Yeah, I mean, like, what could be a better song than that? Cater to You. Now, obviously, that goes both ways, but don't let the message, you know, fool you. The song is about a woman catering to her man, you know, cooking dinner, you know, being supportive, giving him that sex. She said, when you come in, you tap me on my shoulder, I'll roll over. Y'all know how that is? You know, we come in, we may want to do something, you just kind of stay rolled over in your own little ball. You don't want to, you know. She said, tap me on my shoulder. She said, I'll roll over. I'll remain that same chick that you fell in love with. I could do a whole show. In fact, I have done a whole show on that song, breaking down the lyrics. You know, will you roll over? Are you that same chick you fell in love with? Or are you 30 pounds heavier? You know, were you cool in the beginning and now you have an attitude? You know, did you back in the day support his dreams? Now you laugh at his dreams. You know, I'm just telling y'all, ladies, this is a blueprint on the perfect wife. One, another thing, too, before we go, one of the things I want to talk about, you know, we're talking about perfect wives, perfect girlfriends. You know, there are going to be men who test you, okay? There are going to be men who test you. You know, you're going to see that ring, and they're going to see, no, you're in a relationship, whatever. They're not going to respect that ring. You know, a lot of y'all like to, you like the attention. You don't necessarily cheat, but you do like the attention nonetheless. And I'm just here to tell y'all, ladies, like, that's not cool. You know what I'm saying? That will leave you single. You know, we're not into all the flirtatious games. A lot of y'all have male coworkers that you flirt with. Y'all have these inappropriate friendships that you think that nobody knows about, but we know about them, you know. And if your man can't trust you 100%, then you're not going to be able to trust him, even 30%. Because I'm just being real with y'all. When a man approaches you, all that laughing and joking, oh, no, I'm in a relationship. No, ha, ha. No, I can't do that. But he's like, what's your name? No, what's your name? All that conversation is unnecessary. Keep it moving. Because I know I've met women. I've talked to women who let me know, look, I'm married. It ain't going down. Keep it moving. And I respected that. I didn't get mad. It didn't hurt my feelings. I'm like, wow, that's what you're supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? All that laughing, ha, ha, joking, flirting, back and forth, that letting these men see. One of the things y'all need to know, and it's probably the most important thing I'll say all night, is that not only do we not want our woman or any man to have a chance with a woman, we deep down know that. We don't necessarily think that you're going to cheat. But it's not even about that. It's deeper than that. We don't even want a man to think, to even have the slightest inkling that he has a chance. That's important to us. It's not about insecurity. It's not about jealousy. It's about respect. You know, you need to respect your man, ladies. You know, don't you be out here letting these men think that they have a chance with you. Because a lot of these men, that's actually one of the worst feelings. You know, when another man thinks that he can have what's yours. You know, that would make me end the relationship just off of that. You know, giving a man the impression that he could think, that he thinks that he has a chance. I'm just trying to tell you, I'm being real with y'all. We did a show a few weeks ago about the things that you do as women that are absolutely unforgivable. Certain things we can look past, but other things are absolutely unforgivable. If you miss that show, matter of fact, who are y'all kidding? If you miss any show, do y'all think this is the type of show you can just catch when you catch it? I'm just asking y'all, do y'all really think that? Or, you need to know that every single night, 7 nights a week, is going to provide some of the most valuable information that is humanly possible. This ain't the Steve Harvey show. You just happen to catch him, nephew Tommy making a prank call, and you just, oh, I missed it. No, it's not. You don't just catch it when you catch it. You know, this is life-changing information right here. 7 nights a week. Joe, any last thoughts, man, words of wisdom before we get ready to get out of here?
Oh, man, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't, you know, t- touch a little bit on Heavy D. Heavy D passed away today, man, and I grew up listening to Heavy D and his music, and one of my favorite songs with Heavy D and the Boys, song called Somebody for Me. And in that song, you know, he's talking about how he would search high and search low, trying to find this cutie pie, the love of his life. And over again, I mean, his destination would lead to a dead end, and he'd find nothing. And he was just looking for the woman to spend the rest of his life with. And I don't know what year that song was made, probably in the late 80s, early 90s, somewhere along those lines. But just goes to show, ladies, I mean, with music like that, lyrics like that, when artists were like true artists and you could understand everything that was being said and they were really speaking about their emotions. And I mean, I read an interview where he was saying, man, this song is true. I'm talking about me. I'm looking for somebody who will actually love me for me and not because I'm, you know, Heavy D. And even then and now, I mean, this is what men have been looking for. They've been, in this song, what he's saying, that's what they were looking for then. That's what they're looking for now. Like we started the show off saying, men are looking for a woman that they can spend forever with. You determine if you're going to be that woman that he sees forever with. And it just starts with the things that we talk about on a nightly basis. If you have a high level of respectability, if you are emotionally available, and if you have a great personality, then having those three things allows a man to see forever with you. If you don't have those things, he won't see forever in you. He may see tonight, he may see next week, but in order for him to see forever, like that song that I love, you have to have those three things.
Yeah, man, that's pretty much it. Everybody, check out Gerald at GeraldHoward.com. You know, he's got some projects on the way, I know. Exclusive information, keep listening to the show. Check out his Facebook fan page, all that stuff. Guys, you know, tonight's show was just an opportunity for you guys. Dre had to roll out. Shout out to Dre for being here earlier on. But tonight is just is an opportunity for you to really do some self-reflecting. And we laid it all out for you very plainly, and it was an opportunity for you to ask yourself, is this me? Are the people that they're talking about, you know, do I fit that profile? And if so, then cool. Most likely you're already married or you're on your way. But if not, it's an opportunity for you to make some changes. You know, if you're the type of woman that's always debating and arguing and fighting and mad all the time and talking how you know, you don't need a man. And I mean, that's fine. I'm not, you know, I like the debate, so it's fun to me. But just know within yourself, you're going to be single. You know, nobody wants a wife like that. You know, my mom always told me, and I tell this story all the time, you can either be right or you can get what you want. You know, I mean, you can be, you know, right, but you can also be dead. You can also be in the hospital. You can also be single. You know, at the end of the day, black men are looking for a certain type of woman. You know, and let me just tell you all this also before we get out of here. You know, every man has an image of his future wife in his head. We all do. Every single man does. We know what she looks like, and that's what we will have. You know, or unless he chooses to settle for something for less than that. And for many of you, some of you are that woman. That's why he's even dealing with you. Or some of you look like that woman. Some of you have those qualities of that woman. That's why you're in his life. But others, you don't look anything like that woman, so you'll never be his wife. And it's important for you to be able to look at it early on before you waste 5 years of your life and be like, you know what? You don't see me in that way, which is going to be a tough pill to swallow. You know, I've dealt with women, you know, for an extended amount of time, knowing that it wasn't going anywhere, but it was out of convenience. It was cool. We were kicking it, you know. It was cool for her. It was cool for me. But at the end of the day, that's not what I wanted. She was not going to be my wife. And we as men know, you guys not so much, but we as men know, it's either you're going to be our wife, or you're going to be our sex toy. It's really nothing in between. All these excuses that they give you, all these lies they give you, all these, you know, and excuse is really the best word. If that's their excuse. I don't care if it's about money, if he says it's about school, if it's about his career, whatever he says it's about, whatever issues you're working on, you know, I've heard them all. Like, I wrote them all. I made them up. I'm, you know what I'm saying? Trust me. I know all of them. That just means you're not that one. You know, don't waste your time. Don't waste your life. And don't settle for less than you want to deserve. So that's it, man. That's tonight's show. What else, man? Tomorrow night, probably air a rerun. You know how we do. You know, air a classic rebroadcast. But I actually have some classics lined up for you tomorrow and Thursday. And then you know how we do. I don't know, man. We might have to make this a permanent thing. Friday nights have been crazy. You know, keeping it real Fridays is going to be off the chain. We're going coming back live. And we're here 7 nights a week. If you guys haven't ordered the CD yet, you're tripping. I'm telling y'all straight up. You need this. You pop it in your car. The best information you'll ever hear in your life, period, point blank in this story. Order it at DeDonTolbert.com. That's it, man. Look, thank you to Morgan for being here, Gerald, Dre, you guys listening home for 3 hours every night. I told you all the time, that's not, you know, I don't take that lightly. Nobody even watches three-hour movies now. But you sit here every night and listen to me talk, which is really a great thing. So I'm going to play a song as we close out. We talked a lot about the perfect woman tonight, the perfect wife. Ironically, this is one of my favorite songs by Beyonce. And it epitomizes the perfect wife right here. So listen to these lyrics, and I'll talk to y'all tomorrow night. Peace.
Boy. Show 'em how you ride.